This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
This is terribly rude. Excuse me.
Are you going to blow?
Well, I just had my nostrils violated.
Oh. Time to clear them out, eh?
Oh. Oh, my.
I'm excited. What can I say? I'm excited.
What color is it?
They're poopy boogers.
Uh-huh.
Mike went in there
maybe
15 minutes ago.
Oh, tell the truth. It was days ago.
It was within the last quarter hour.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You went in. And I thought it was a double flusher. It was, in fact, a quadruple flusher from Mike.
Out of courtesy. Out of courtesy, because we have no freshener.
And still, when I walked in there just to go number one, not only did I walk into an absolute, I swear to God, wall of stink.
Yeah.
It's like Lincoln logs, if you'll pardon the pun, piled up. And as I stood in front of the toilet, there was still toilet paper floating around.
Now,
in there.
Just a second. I did a quadruple flusher because our toilet does not flush well.
Low flow. It's one of those low flow toilets.
Excuse me. All right, I'm all keyed up.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I'm all keyed up. That's why my bowels, about the game, about everything, you know,
everything.
I'm really, really excited. You know, it's World Series Wednesday. Don't you understand that?
Shut up.
I need to do something.
Why?
Shut up.
Hold on.
Does this involve taking your shirt off?
Not off.
Doesn't it always?
I'm just going to open it for a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on. Just a tease.
All right. What are you doing now? He's going to write something on himself.
A marker. He's going to write on his stomach or his chest.
What are you writing on your belly? Go.
Go socks, I'm guessing.
Go.
To the doctor?
Go.
Already went.
Go.
Go to the bathroom. No, he did that.
Okay. Very nice.
I'm going to have to let it dry.
You want to get that right on the front page of the website?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Go get a camera,
think about
Robbie.
It, Mike.
Go get the camera, Rob. Now,
Gossics.
I want it from the navel up. I don't want to see people to
no,
see the hang.
You wouldn't want to see that.
I don't want to take it. Now I'm embarrassed. The moment is gone.
He has some modesty.
The moment has passed.
We do have the Earl guy today, right?
Yes, we do.
Good. Yes.
Earl?
Our policy of no guests has been somewhat amended.
Modified.
No lame guests.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's and that, of course, is always something that's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we had that guy on from Numbers. Well, we had him on because we were talking about quiz show.
Right.
Did you watch any of that last night after I called you?
Yeah.
It's irresistible now, isn't it?
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. A new TV set, Charlie.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
Mike called me about 5 after 8 and said, turn on channel 513, Charlie.
Well, what have we here?
And there it was, quiz show in all its glory. Ah, Dad, chocolate cake.
So today we'll have, at some point, you know, if he's on a hard line, make sure of that, Robbie. Hard as a rock.
Done.
The guy, the brother from My Name is Earl.
Randy.
The big guy?
Yeah. I like him from Mallrats. I know him all the way back to Mallrats. And you'll also
I like him from American History X.
Been around.
And you'll remember him as well as the guy from Remember the Titans.
Yeah, he was I think his biggest was American History X. And I'm not talking about like the biggest role. I'm talking about when he was at his biggest.
Oh.
He is
huge.
At one point over 4.
He was over 400.
A big boy.
He was a good guy.
Thank you, John L. Sullivan.
Okay, that's quite enough.
So maybe we'll get to him today. I just throw that out there. Scheduled to appear today.
Scheduled to appear.
Maybe he will.
That's
maybe he won't.
That's a wonderful way of doing it.
Sure is.
Then you prepare our listeners for disappointment, which I think is good. And if they're diminished, it's all about diminished expectations.
So a guy like that, sure, if he calls in, we'll talk to him.
Sure.
But beyond that, Dad, let's move on. And I got stuff for you, Mike, right at the beginning.
Okay.
Everybody, of course, still fix. We've not officially started yet.
Right.
No.
None of this is on your permanent record, everybody.
We'll be riding wild.
The circumstances have created a perfect storm for fires. It's very dry.
It's very hot, and we have a lot of wind all over the state of California.
Perfect storm. Perfect storm, says Governor Arnold.
Thank God the winds have diminished.
Yes. We do have the tape of the TV reporter who was broadcasting in front of his house burning.
Right.
Oh, good.
So let's give that a listen, shall we?
Let's
On
do
any
it.
Given day, I would say welcome to my home.
Now, this guy also
This guy
be,
gets the medal, doesn't he?
This guy would be an outstanding guest.
Right.
He would be a guest. Again, we're just kind of doing a primer on the run here as to what we're looking for.
Yeah, what the hell does that feel like?
But this guy would be a guy that would be a great guy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
On any given day, I would say welcome to my home. This is what is left of my home, just outside the Forest Ranch area. A fire crew that fought valiantly to save every house on this hill at least took a shot at it and were nice enough to let us up there. That was our garage, the living room over there. There was a porch. Back there, the bedrooms. No pets left behind. Family out, cars out, safe, but... You can see my hose right here. Now you've been trying to do something, but it's a Southwestern style house. I've been in it about 25 years. Out here when there was nothing. We did clear brush. We did what we could. This was a living hell coming over the hill. And this is what I come home to today.
That's a TV reporter. Is that why Tom Hanks is laughing like that?
That's the guy we discussed yesterday, the guy that was in front of his house while it was burning. And then here's the guy. They're talking to him later.
Well, I'm like the rest of the city, pretty much on edge. To see that happen in front of you is a surreal experience. You know, on Sunday night, I had been called out to go to the backcountry where this fire started, the witch fire started, and was... talking to people whose homes had burned and trying to comfort them and trying to get sound bites with them. And I came home Sunday night, hugged my son, hugged my wife, and said, you can't believe what these people have been going through and how devastating it is. And thank God we're far away from it. Well, yesterday morning, woke up about 5 o'clock and could smell that awful smell when you know that there is smoke and flame near you. Got my family out of the house, got them to a safe place. Grabbed a news van, my credential, and went back to that neighborhood to just try and get some sound, some pictures. And by the time I got there, the fire trucks were coming down my hill and saying, you can go up there, but you're not going to like what you're going to see. Yeah. So we ventured up there, and I stood in my driveway and watched it burn. 25 years of memories.
Jesus. That's a report. That's a TV reporter.
Uh-huh.
My God.
Okay, and before we start the show, here's something of a bit of a lighter note from the Fair and Balanced Network.
Oh, good.
She's trying to say the word cop, but the word that comes out is cock-a-doodle-doo.
Ooh.
So we've had to do the beep-beep.
Okay.
So we'll let this roll and then listen to our man, Shep Smith, afterwards.
Oh, is it Shep again?
No, of course. But Shep is on the receiving end. He's on the other side of it.
But Shep is involved again.
Right.
Shep is always there when this happens.
Shep will let you know exactly what she said.
Right.
Oh, good. Well, you can count on that.
So he does serve a purpose here in this tape.
Jenny
from the
block.
Deputy police chief says six officers were killed, including the district's top cop after the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets. Three other officers were hurt in the attack.
Oh, my God.
And those are your latest headlines. I'm Jane Skinner. Time now to send you back to Shepherd, who is live where? Just outside of Memphis.
Sure.
Shep. South Carolina Gamecocks. She's a big fan. Go South Carolina. We'll look for you on YouTube there, Jane.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He done all right that time, didn't he?
Hello!
Hi there.
Wow.
That's not news.
Wow.
That's olds.
That is fabulous.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Run, you bastard!
Oh, no.
What glorious goo.
You need the goo.
Looks like baby vomit.
Yeah, hi there.
Thank you, Charlie.
You know, the artist, Buzz, can you name the artist?
No, I can't remember now.
No shock. The artist is named Jesus Jones.
That's right. Yeah, not a lot of hits for Jesus Jones.
And, of course, Buzz and his whole non-believer
thing.
The
name just doesn't stick.
Maybe this will help you remember Buzz.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Yeah, hey, baby.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO, biggest celebrity of them all. Who's down with G-O-D?
Yeah, baby.
What about weed? Is there going to be any weed?
Good.
Let's pick up the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Mommy boobies.
Yeah. Those are nice.
Gay sex. Whoa.
Whoa. Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don.
Well, hi, everybody.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
This show is going to be with all the personalities of this guy you know, this good lady you know. I'm Julia Child. So I'm Mickey Mouse. My bananas caught him up skinny all like.
I want to hear French gourmet.
And you know who else is here next to me? French gourmet.
Yeah, lower voice.
Yeah. I'm French gourmet.
French gourmet.
This show is about how to cook, how to make
bananas.
Bananas into small pieces for the jello.
Jello, right.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandido.
Hey, winner.
Ho, 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 ho. This is it.
That was not funny.
Was
don't
hard.
You stop laughing. That ain't funny.
Righto, Don and Mike show.
I'm not happy.
New episode Wednesday. Phone number is same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636.
Can I hear the lady say that again, please?
Which one?
The lady that talks to Shepard Smith.
Oh, sure.
Can I hear that again,
sure,
please?
That'd be good.
I really love that.
You got it.
The deputy police chief says six officers were killed, including the district's top cop after the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets. Three other officers were hurt in the attack. And those are your latest headlines. I'm Jane Skinner. Time now to send you back to Shepherd, who is live where? Just outside of Memphis.
South Carolina Gamecocks. She's a big fan. Go South Carolina. We'll look for you on YouTube there, Janie.
That's a good talk one. About totally throwing her under the bus. I mean, it's funny enough that she does it, but he just completely pulls the rug out from under her.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi. Here we go. First call. Let's see if it works. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys were watching the Today Show a couple days ago where Meredith Vieira was interviewing the couple who lost their house, and then she started laughing because they're out there. We'll be riding
wildfire. Can I just stop you for a second? Is everybody else like me? Are you sick of seeing the poor people that have had their houses burned down? Are you sick of seeing them interviewed on TV?
Well, they've overdone it. They've overdone it. But
the way that our networks and our news present things now,
a little saturated.
It's to the point where it's too much.
Well, that's their job. They exploit tragedy, and they're going to continue to exploit tragedy as long as they can. And you know, unlike Katrina, where you really didn't have a handle on what was going on because mm-hmm. it was such mass chaos, you know, now you've got these specific people that they can go out to, get the cameras out there, and begin the exploitation right away. We'll be riding wild. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just gonna say, unlike something else, like let's say Katrina or an earthquake, only in a story like this. Would you open up a newspaper like the Washington Post, as I did today, mm-hmm. and they have a list of celebrities and homes that are in danger? That's how
as though those homes are more important than the other homes.
That's how it's all playing.
Yeah, I mean, as though the celebrity homes are somehow more important. But and it's the great tradition of journalism when you've got somebody with their house gone, and the smoke coming out, and they put the camera in there and say, "How do you feel?"
Right.
I mean, really, which, yeah. what the hell else can you ask? Right.
That's why that guy from San Diego, that to me is maybe the saddest slash funniest thing that I've seen or heard in a long time.
Because he has just gone out to actually talk to people where he's got that distance and then...
And his old house is burning.
And then he's got his own house burning at the same time.
I wonder how he feels.
And yeah, but ask him how... Well, he told us how he felt, right?
He doesn't stop to, like, throw sand or water on it. Just...
No, his loyalty is to the camera.
That's right.
Not that I think sand could do anything for it.
I think a little too
Mike, sand is highly underrated.
Yeah. You're a big sand fan, are you?
Pound sand.
Pound sand.
Pound sand.
Sandman.
Oh, we can play the sand game?
Grains of sand.
Did you mean Sandman, like Mr. Sandman?
Make me a dream.
Well, then I mean Sandman, the comic book character. Sandman. Sandwich. Oh, Sandra D.
Sandy Alomar. A baseball player.
Oh, okay, but still I'm a
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Sandy Beach.
Sandy Koufax.
Not only Sandy Beach, the place, but Sandy Beach, the DJ.
There's too many of them, though, right? There are too many of them. I've got Sandy Beach, a real person. I swear to God, my best friend Joey, growing up in my hometown, sister Sandy, married Jim Beach, John Beach. And her name was Sandy Beach. I swear to God, that was her
official.
Name.
All right, well, then you could be king of the Sandys.
I thought that would count. That's good. Thank
king
you.
Of the sand.
King of, that's right, king that's of right. sand.
And you didn't even say Sander Claus.
Oh, no, see, God. That would not have counted.
Sander Van Oker, the old news reporter.
All right, late to the party now, piling on yourself.
I know I am.
You're on victory celebration.
I'm doing the victory dance.
Uh-huh. I have news.
Hopefully the first of two.
News for you about... you still caught up about the game tonight? Sure. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You wrote it on your belly. Pull your shirt back down, please.
In red.
I'm going to stick it out.
Go Sox.
Pull your shirt down.
Stick it out. Did I make you burp?
Jesus, yes. Put your shirt down.
There it is.
Very neatly drawn.
Go Sox. Uh-huh. Inside a symphony of hair.
So, the guy from Philly, the guy I've been talking about for the last couple of days.
Yes.
Yes.
He wins.
He wins big time?
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He's the winner.
Right.
He calls today, and he asks for moi.
Uh-huh.
I say to Jan, I don't want to get into the middle of this with him.
Sure.
And she says, you know, she's giving me the mouth signs like, you know, used to be a big client. Come on. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, if you say these things, just tell him. So I'm like, hello? He said he listened all day yesterday, mm-hmm. even after he complained. And he is convinced, after a night of talking to his wife, the guy picks up the phone. First off, he's not mad at all.
Right.
That's good.
And he's convinced that, in a weird way, I'm like his idol. This is a bad thing, Larry David. Because he said, I take real life and I stretch it to absurd limits.
Uh-huh. Right.
He said he watched the movie Boiler Room.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
And he said beyond the fact that the guy wore suspenders,
right?
He's nothing like that guy.
He's really kind of obsessing on every word.
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him,
"We're good."
I was serious, and he said, "Oh,
there you go again.
You're killing me."
Yeah. He said, right.
At first we were even mad about the thing with the chinny thin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all of our friends that were listening heard about it. They talked about it. Oh, that's so funny. Listen, and then the last thing the guy says, so I'm just sitting there. I've not said a thing. As far as Jan knows, the guy's unloading on me, right?
Right.
I'm just sitting there, and I really have a shocked look on my face. He says, so, absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts. November 17th, I am paying. We are going to Atlantic City because... You, my friend, are a funny man, and I like you. Now, give me the phone. Give the phone back to the salesperson of the year.
Well, what more can you? You can't do anything then.
I'm out.
Except say no.
You go where the love is.
Did you acquiesce? Did you say yes? I'll be up there November 17th.
I give her the phone. Mm-hmm. I did that thing that you do, like I had a hot potato. As soon as he said, "Let me talk to the salesperson of the year," I went, "Whoa, there you go." And she's like, and she takes the phone. She's like. What? I said, You listen. And she's like, hello?
I bet he's lying to you, though, about her friends listening to it, because they're in Philadelphia, you said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't all be listening on the computer.
If you have, Mike,
you said he was a liar. That's why.
I beg to differ, because after Janet talked to him, now we're not talking about thousands of people.
Right.
We're talking within this guy's inner circle and the lady with the chinny chin chin
right.
stuff.
No, what I'm saying, though, do you think there's a chance he's going, hey, they all, do you think he's setting you up in some way?
No. He's 100% sincere.
Really?
I said to him when Janet said, well, okay. She said, now, are you sure that you asked him about this? And she gave me the phone back.
Right.
And the guy said, all right, then we're set. It's my treat. My treat because I'm a big shot. Because I'm a big shot with suspenders.
He said that it's my treat because I'm a big shot?
Yeah. And he said, and we're going to talk about chinny chin chin and anything else you want. And you are a funny guy and you make me laugh. And I said, I don't know how to be more blunt with you. We're not on the radio now. I don't want to ruin anything in a business arrangement between you and Janet. But I got to tell you something, pal. I truly don't like you. I don't like guys like you. And he said, you are great. Mm-hmm. You are great.
Wow. So what are you going to do?
We have to go now. He won. We have to go.
Jesus.
Can't back out of it. So anyway, and the other thing that I decided was today is whatever today is, October 23rd.
Right.
Is that the day?
24th.
We're all fourth now.
Yeah. Close enough to Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I'll give this beautiful hair on my face 30 days to grow. When I was talking to you yesterday, Mike, about what I should or shouldn't do,
right.
I didn't mention that I had just trimmed everything up,
right.
And it's very closely cropped. So I will be like a wild man, a caveman, for 30 days.
30 days, Jerry!
And you will see the incredible growth rate that I have with facial hair. And then after 30 days, I will leave it in your hands.
Like the configuration?
Yeah.
Should we bring in a razor? Little, shaver?
Straight edge?
Like one of those little... No, I don't think we need to do that. A little shaver. Do you do electric or blade? Do you shave any part of your face at all?
Underneath my neck.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's the only part you do.
And
do you do it with an electric or with a regular razor?
On my cheeks. Just a blade.
Just a blade? Okay. I use electric. So, maybe we can bring in the electric razors that day and get you, because I know the configuration I want. I already see what it should be. But it'll be helpful if you grow it out. Will you trim your mustache if the hairs get long and go into your food?
No, I will let it go. And I think that you will see that it's like a girl growing hair on her legs.
Now, when you say leave it up to me, does that mean totally leave it up to me?
Sculpting it, shaving it?
No, of course not. But what I mean is I'll go with you. For instance, Fu Manchu, I might go for that. The Paul Senior look, if it's possible, I might go for that.
When I'm saying leave it up to me totally, you said you would leave it up to me, and then you said of course not. So now I'm confused again. I'm confused.
Well, you would have input.
Well, that input is not totally up to me.
Do you remember what happened the last time Mike had clippers in his hand?
Incidentally, have we commented on Mr. Spiewak's facial hair configuration?
Yes. Simply a template.
That is what you proposed yesterday.
This is exactly
why. That is what you wanted to look like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And this
Except
is,
not quite so fat.
This is exactly why I'm glad Rob shaved his chin.
Not just my chin.
Do you know how he came to work today? On a bicycle built for two. It's like the gay 1890s.
Well, my Joe nailed it. He said it's Martin Van Buren, and it is. It's like a closely cropped Martin Van Buren.
Cuckoo, ca-choo, you are the walrus.
Yes, I am.
It is an awful look.
It really is.
There's no way, even if I could grow a beard, that I would want my facial hair to look like that. So thank you, Rob.
You know, you're saying it's awful, but God, I love it. I really do. I think it looks so nice.
Yeah.
It looks such a throw. There are not many guys that can do that.
There's a reason nobody does it. Anyone could do it.
It's from the 1800s.
That's
it's
right.
Like what you would see guys walking. You know the movie that people have to do, Gangs of New York? Get the DVD of Gangs with New York of New York and look at those guys. That's what this looks like.
Don't get the one I got, Gang Bangs of New York. That's different.
So I'm going to let it go 30 days.
30 days, okay. Jerry.
Then we'll decide, because this is all very important as to the look that I put out there. As a scooter owner.
As a scooter owner, you want to look as macho as possible.
Yes.
And what I was going to suggest, though, when you get to that facial hair level, when you're ready to trim it,
30 days from now, Mike.
I think it's time for a little, you know, JFM.
J, F means F word?
No, four.
Four.
Just say it. What? I don't get. JF. What was the last one?
M.
J. Oh, just for me. No.
Just to let it show up, because it'll look better.
No.
You used to color it with mascara. What's the difference? I mean, remember way back when.
He didn't say a secret. He said it on the air that he did that. It's not a secret.
I did.
It would look so good if you did that. It would look so great if you did that.
At this point, I would rather have no facial hair.
What if you go with
then dye my?
All right, then what if you give it a try?
My dry facial hair. The only other choice I have is to get in a tanning booth 24 hours a day and make my skin so dark that eventually you see that there is white hair.
That's the wrong way to go.
Like Jane Seymour on my face.
How about this? Could you bring in? No. How about this? Could you bring in mascara just to have just to darken it, just to see how it would look? You can wash it off during the show, but it would show you what it would look like if it was darkened a little.
Only you're in your wildest pajama party dreams.
You're not going to do that.
I'm not going to draw on a beard.
You've
for
done
you.
It before, though.
When I did that before, and let me just say it was many moons ago. It was out of desperation, Mike. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've come to terms to grasp the inadequacy that I feel at not being able to grow a beard.
Well, I'm saying here's the deal with coloring the beard. It's not because you're coloring it because it's, you know, you want to look younger or anything like that. You're coloring it because the gray, like mine. The gray just doesn't show the beard as well. If it's a darker color, it shows the beard. It's all your real hair. You have more than enough hair down there.
I'd rather go without. I seriously would rather go clean shaven than dye my facial hair.
I'm saying, would you be willing, just if I got it, just for once, just as an experiment that you could wash off immediately after,
no.
Just to darken it a little bit, just to see what it would look like?
No. What is this, like Beauty Shop with Queen Latifah?
Hey, I'm not the one that's talking about... You know, how I'm growing my hair out. I mean, you know.
I'm talking about growing a beard. I'm not talking about, like going underneath the big, old-fashioned Bride of Frankenstein.
What's the
hair
product
dryer?
I'm talking about? What's the product called? Is it just for Queen Latifah? No, it's just for men. It's just for men. It is a product that men use to darken their beard. Didn't Mr. Liddy teach you anything?
I feel if I attack the product, I'll be attacking its users. And one of its users happens to be in front of me.
I don't use that all the time. I've used it before. I use a product from a hair salon to darken my beard. Occasionally. I go some weeks I go where I darken it. Some weeks I go where it's all natural. This week it happens to be all natural.
To me, that is akin to a man who wears a toupee. Or a man that has to take a blue pill to get it up.
It's a very sensitive area.
If I had to take a blue pill to get it up, I would. I mean, if I had to wear it, I wouldn't wear a toupee. I would not do that. I would close crop my hair if I was losing my hair. I happen to have this big, beautiful 18-year-old head of hair that I'm very fortunate that I have these lush locks. But as far as the hair, don't you understand? I'm not doing it because of the age thing. I'm doing it because I just like the look of my beard when it's darker.
Makes the beard show up.
I like my beard to show up. I really do. And that makes you look better on a bike.
Well,
then I'll have to think about it.
However, look, if my
beard... Remember, I'm not getting a motorcycle. I'm getting a scooter.
If I had a Paul Tuttle, if I had a Paul Tuttle beard, I would never color it. I would love to have his heavy, bushy beard. And, you know, when I was talking to you yesterday, if you'll notice, I'm growing mine out a little bit, too. Mine's getting a little bit scragglier, you know, just a little bit scragglier. But it, you know, if I do that, then I get long hairs getting in my food.
I wish, again, your problem is something I wish my whole life I'd had.
Yeah, to grow a heavier beard?
To be able
you
to
have
a
always
beard.
Wanted it. Ever since I've known you, you've wanted to grow a
of
beard.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And there have to be guys out there that feel the way I do.
Sure there are.
It's the one brass ring that I've never been able to grasp.
Right.
There were kids in high school, Jesus Christ, that had, they came in with terrorist-looking beards.
Mm-hmm. I had a big red beard when I was in high school. Big, huge sideburns when I was in high school. I loved it. I really did. And now they're gray. And I hate that.
But you've got some hair, Mike.
I have more than enough.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi there. What's up?
Yeah, just calling to tell you guys that news babe that mispronounced Top Cop, you'll never guess who she's married to.
Peter North?
No, it's close, but her husband is responsible for telling the entire world every year as he walks up to a microphone who the Green Bay Packers' number one selection is, and he also thinks it's a great idea to have the Super Bowl in London.
Is she married to Roger Goodell?
That's absolutely correct, Don.
That's Roger Goodell's wife that made that mistake?
That's absolutely correct.
Maybe that's why Shepard was filled with such delight when she screwed up.
And maybe she was just thinking about that Roger Goodell man meat.
Yeah, I think you guys, whenever you have one of your pals from CBS, Sunday, James Brown or Boomer Sisson and Phil Sims, any of those guys, play that for them.
You know, I mentioned before that Shepard Smith is always around that type of thing.
Thank you, my friend. We didn't know that. Thanks for the call.
Shepard Smith really dodges the bullet all the time. You know, Shep is always around that. And that reaction, he'll still be on Fox News. He'll continue to thrive there. Yep. But that is really, as far as an anchor is concerned, that is such a highly unprofessional way to handle that. He's laughing like a schoolgirl. Yep.
And that's our news tonight.
And it won't happen again. I'm Shep Smith.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hi there, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, Don, does that scooter fit in the back of the Escalade or no?
You know, I don't know if it would fit in the back of an SUV.
Probably.
Probably
it
would. Probably. Yeah.
What about scooter races in the parking lot with you against Buzz against Mike? Through cones.
Scooter races.
Through cones. Well, now that would necessitate them actually getting scooters as well.
I'll pay.
No.
I'll pay. Hold on. I'll pay whatever we have to. If it's a rental fee.
We can rent them.
Can you rent them?
Sure you can.
Time trial.
Oh, my God.
Right in the parking
lot. We'd have to do it on a Friday when the parking lot was empty.
Mm-hmm. We'd have to do it. We could drink.
Hey, Don, did you see the old guy that peed his pants?
That's a good idea.
We could set up a racetrack around the building.
In the building.
No, but we've got a perfect parking lot for like. We could set up this complex
Stop! This is too much pressure on me already. Stop.
Why?
I have a scooter complex already. I'm not going to start my scooterdom by sitting out there like fat guy in a little coat on that thing like a fat guy on a clown bicycle in front of all of our listeners. No.
Not even with the new beard.
Please.
No.
Could be a Tuttle.
No.
Why? Because. Why are you being so mean?
I'm not being mean.
I don't think he is. I think.
Well, no. Can't we just have scooter races? I mean, you don't have to race. You know, all right. He's choking to death.
Here, maybe I can help.
Get him some water.
I think his concern, because I would have the same concern if
where
I was in
my
his
spot rag.
he's having some. The scooter racers have not had a good physical reaction. You know?
I brought a snot rag in here.
All right, get his snot rag right now. He's choking,
sorry, Mike. I'm not choking. All right. I just have runny boogers.
Oh, because you're Mucinex and
yes.
stuff.
See, if anything goes wrong, it'll spoil his entire scooter experience from that
Buzz,
day forward.
What are you doing? Buzz, why aren't you joining me in this?
I would love for him to participate, but I understand why he doesn't want to.
Wait.
Thank you.
Don't understand all the time.
All right.
Thank you. My apologies. Probably leave my booger rag around.
Sorry.
All right. I really want to. Can't we please do it? Please, Don.
Somebody called the show. No, somebody emailed the show. Somebody sent me an email at our website, donandmikewebsite.com, and said, if you take Mucinex all the time, it's going to make your number three supply go way down.
Diminish. Yeah.
And Buzz said something.
But it makes sense.
Said like,
yeah, well, it's the same. I hate to gross people out, but isn't it kind of the same type of thing?
All fluids, yeah.
Yeah, bodily fluids.
Yeah, so I immediately stopped taking Mucinex.
And that's why you had the reaction that you just had?
Well, that's why.
Or was it the scooters?
No, I just needed to blow my nose. I just really had runny boogers, and I was afraid if I laughed or if I spoke, that runny boogers would—they were right. The runny boogers were right on the cusp,
the precipice
of the bottom of my nostril. It's like the levees in my nose were just about to break.
All right, I've got to Buzz. Please help me out here, okay?
I'll do what I can.
I appreciate you being understanding and stuff like that, and I don't certainly want to ruin your experience. I'm just talking about for fun. You've got a parking lot that lends itself to the most incredible Le Mans road rally. Please let me finish, please.
You already
and
have
if you
ruined
do it,
it,
if you do it, I'll tell you what I'll do.
You already
if
have you, ruined it.
How?
How have I ruined it? How have I ruined it?
By turning it into a sideshow.
It's not a sideshow. Please understand this. Please understand one thing about this. You know, look, this speaks to my work ethic, okay? This really does, all right? These are fun shows to do, okay? They're really fun shows to do. You don't have to think. You know what I mean? You just come in here, and they're great shows, and they're highly entertaining without a lot of thinking required. And, I love those kind of shows. If you do it, if you decide to do this, I promise you, I will ride my scooter with a helmet and just a leather vest on.
Mike, I can see that show any day here in the studio.
Yeah, all you have to do is ask.
Take your clothes off all the time.
Jenny from the block.
No, I feel very uncomfortable already with the thought of getting this thing. I feel emasculated to begin with. You know, maybe once I get it under my...
Do you feel like we're trying to steal your thunder with the scooters? Is that it, too?
No, not in the least. I feel that because you're comfortable on a motorcycle and because Buzz has a motorcycle license, that if we did somehow...
What if we had a couple of trial runs and stuff like that?
Sure.
Yes! Yes!
There you go.
Don't ever do that again, Buzz.
I'm sorry. Because here's the thing. It'll never happen.
Well, I'll make it happen.
That's why I'm saying it'll never happen.
I'll make it happen before the show's over.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll make it happen before the show's over.
And still devote full attention?
To the show?
To the show?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I will.
Okay, is that a problem?
All it requires is like a pickup truck, and how many are we going to need? How many guys? We have guys have to like run that. We've got one, two, three, five of us here now.
Yes.
So we'll need... Joe to be at the control board.
These are details that you're going to have to work out.
Joe?
In your private time.
Joe, can you handle the control board? Of course you can. Yes, on scooter race day, or do you want to race yourself?
I would like to race.
Sure.
Everybody. Rob, do you have any interest? Rob, you have no interest in racing, do you?
I'd like to stay home that day.
He can run the board.
Yeah.
So it's on me.
Yes.
To make the arrangements to get the scooters out here and...
And the cones.
Yeah, the cones.
And the wireless microphone, and
microphones is not my thing.
Make sure you get the permit from the guy next door that it's okay to race in the motor, race in the lot, and make sure that you get the okay from the building on the other side that it's okay. Mike, don't look at Rob.
Tape up the headlights.
We don't have a producer anymore, Mike. You would have to do these details yourself.
I'll get the scooters, and I'll get the cones. I don't want to talk to the guy. Come on, you wouldn't want to do that either. You've never talked to the guy next door, have you?
Yes, I have.
He doesn't own the building. He's just the chiropractor.
You got to ask the chiropractor, and you got to ask the people over there. I had to talk to them about when Robert the mailman jumped in that tank full of Kool-Aid.
Oh, man. All right. Okay.
Well, the chiropractor's not here on Friday, so.
That's what I was saying. I mean, it's a lean parking lot
but he
on
doesn't
Fridays.
Know.
It could be fabulous.
Just let me ease into it. That's all.
Sure.
Any
particular
life.
Friday you'd be interested in doing it?
Thanksgiving.
How about the Friday after Christmas?
Rob, I'd appreciate just a little help.
That was a joke. Simply a joke.
Excuse me.
Friday after Christmas.
All this tension.
After Christmas?
That's right. If it means enough to you to come in on the day after our Lord's birth and do a radio show on our vacation... I'll do it, Mike.
You know something? No, seriously. You know something? Absolutely not.
I know.
Right. Now, well, I'll make some calls.
Settled.
I'll make some inquiries.
Okay. All right.
No, I happen to know a place. I know a guy with a thing.
You know a guy with a bitchy set of tools.
I know a guy with a thing. There might be people that, you know. What about if it, well, I don't know about scooters. What about ATVs? ATVs, even funnier.
No, thank you.
You know, if we did ATVs, we could do it out at that little
field
area.
Across the street.
Our field where they dump the bodies.
Mm-hmm. One that says no trespassing.
That'd be big. The one that says no trespassing. Where we threw the jarts. Our jarts field.
Right by all those power lines.
Uh-huh.
Would you settle? How about if it wasn't scooters? Would you settle for mini bikes? Like little Western Auto mini bikes?
We would look like Shriners.
Exactly.
Now you're on board.
Sure.
Something two-wheeled with an engine.
Here's the thing. Mike, I'm on board as long as it's a Mike O'Mara production.
All right.
If it's a Mike O'Mara production, please come back to me and let me know when, what day, what time. I'll block out the time on the show. I'll leave it all up to you.
All right. I request permission to consult with my esteemed colleague from the 1800s about the numbers and the people to talk to, and to enlist his help if I direct him to make a phone call or two for
me. Sure.
I will make sure that he will not have to make any calls to the people with the machinery. I'll take care of that end, and I will take care of traffic cones. If I have to steal them from some maintenance facility for the state, I will provide traffic cones.
All right. Well, then you're on.
All right, good.
Then make it happen.
And Buzz, are you in the race?
Absolutely.
Do you want to race?
Sounds like fun. What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Nothing will go wrong. It'll be great. Exactly. And, you know, we don't even need traffic cones, really.
No, we don't. Just the bikes.
Yes, we do.
Why do you need traffic cones?
What purpose?
Well, you just block off the parking lot with them.
You know? You can go to Home Depot and buy cones.
Yes, I will. You don't understand. I'd love to do it. I'm just thinking, what?
Show biz it up, baby.
Oh, yeah, to put the cones out.
A little flashy.
What are you supposed to do?
Because we might have to sprint. You know, what? The ideal situation would be, do you know how we go up the hill and around? Mm-hmm. And we have this wonderful office complex.
Yeah, we do. You can circle
the whole
thing.
It's a tremendous track. It's a tremendous road track.
Well, again, what you're going to have to do is figure out, you know, the wireless.
All you have to do.
The coverage of the microphones.
And, you know, we need to get, I can enlist some volunteers, too, because, you know, the best way to do it is to position spotters
right
when the race starts so that nobody gets in our way.
Right.
So you don't have anybody getting in our way.
Need foot soldiers there.
We'll have to close the parking lot.
Okay, good luck with all of that, Mike.
All right.
Good luck with all of that, and I look forward to that being a successful segment on an upcoming show.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
Scooter races.
Okay, so when we come back, we'll do what?
I got my strategy.
What's your strategy?
I'm not asking anybody. We're just going to do it. I'm just going to show up with the scooters. Whee! And I have them get mad.
Oh, that's an ixnay.
Evictionay.
Okay, when we come back, spotlight on. Don't want to give away the mystery of this. I'll just say he's a beloved radio executive who today got a huge demotion.
Oh, God.
Good things happen to good people with the reorganization of CBS Radio,
mm-hmm.
and it's happening today.
Wow.
Involving Michael Hughes, who sadly, to some extent, will still be involved with us,
yes.
with our radio station.
Oh, absolutely. He'll never go away.
But like a lot of these guys around the country, that were, what was the title, like regional managers?
Yes. Regional vice presidents, I believe.
They've all had those paper titles ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reorganization, Don.
Streamlining.
That's what I hear.
Making the company lean and mean.
That's right.
Hughes has got the brown crown today.
He certainly does.
His underpants are multicolored.
Hey, you know, if he's got the time now with less responsibility, maybe he could come out and be in the race.
That'd be great.
But, Mike, I'm telling you, that Michael Hughes demoted today has nothing to worry about because he's featured right here.
Sure.
In this two-page article.
Famous.
Called Painting the Airwaves Green.
Fantastic.
Forward-thinking broadcasters embark down an environmentally responsible radio road.
Ah, very good. That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes him shine.
Sure.
Green shine.
Because he needs everything that he can get right now.
Right.
Today's a very, very upside-down day at CBS.
So we're going to lift him up.
Yeah!
Yeah, baby!
Come on, Hughes.
Yeah, baby.
Come on, Hughes. It was just a paper title anyway.
Race with us.
Race with us. Race scooters with us.
I'm sure there's no salary involved.
Right.
For all of you guys. All you guys that got those fake titles. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they gave all you guys the fake titles instead of giving you money.
It's good on a
card.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, you just got to change. What is it besides changing some business cards? It's not going to affect our Le Mans. Our Scooter Le Mans. Doesn't that sound like a great name for a Southern disc jockey?
Hamp Scooter Le Mans.
Scooter Le Mans. Hey, that lady said that word.
We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here's House in 1 minute.
Good morning, Angel. Not often you get a patient who sees dead people.
24-year-old funeral cosmetician suffered a grand mal seizure.
I want you to do a brain biopsy.
The guy's already been buried.
We dig him up.
Does everybody around here have trust issues?
Someone's coming.
How many of them agreed to dig up a grave?
Well, I can't ask the black guy or one of the chicks to do it. That would be insensitive.
Sample came back negative for Creutzfeldt-Jakob.
My mother is not dead. She's sitting right there.
You need a job.
I'll find a job.
She thinks her mother's still alive.
Can I help you?
She's not actually seeing into the afterlife.
You're quite impressed with yourself right now, aren't you?
Ghost got your top?
My stones are on the market.
Why won't you help me?
You couldn't let her get to second base just to get the test done?
I think that's third base.
I know what she has. It's the stuff they make LSD from.
Punch your boss and stick around.
Give me the flower and shut up.
Don't need someone to tell you what you're already thinking.
Funny. I was going to say that.
I'm prepared to come back on a number of conditions.
I will give you none of those. You can come back at your original salary.
I can start Monday.
Boo. Boo.
There is a vulgar element involved with the Don and Mike Show.
Boo, boo, boo.
Yeah, well, Buzz told us. When we foolishly, like Lemmings, thought they were getting rid of those three extras on House.
And then who do they get rid of? They get rid of the best character they have, the guy that's not the doctor.
The old guy.
Right. Yeah, they punt the old guy.
I agree.
That sucked in totality last night.
I'm fond of quite a few of the rats that he's got there in his little human experiment.
I'm coming around on the nerdy girl that's the duplicitous one that's always she. I'm coming around because she's so evil and she's so nasty. The one that left the dog.
The one that left the dog collar. The one that received it.
I flipped because the one that received the dog collar was kind of prettier, but then I kind of I switched on her. But the old guy was. I love the banter between him and the other doctor.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised that they dumped the other guy.
I like the Indian guy.
I like him too.
Sure.
is this going to go on all season though? That House is eliminating these other doctors.
And I think we should make it like Dancing with the Stars. We should vote. We should vote on who gets removed.
That would be great.
I can't imagine because as we found out in the first week when it came back, all of those three that were supposedly leaving the show, their names are in the credits.
Right.
And they're all slowly but surely working their way back in anyway.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea, though. Probably been done before. Any great idea in reality television. If you had a live show. You know, remember they did that live ER where they had the cameras all around? You do it a little bit better. You have them rehearse and do a live show, and then you do have the audience vote on what character would go every week. That's pretty cool.
I think we should take a moment to spotlight a guy who maybe is feeling a little down in the dumps
Good
now.
Idea. Okay.
There was a reorganization in our company today at CBS. This is part of what's wrong with radio in general, is that it's been too corporatized, for lack of a better word. It used to be you'd have a company like CBS in Washington, D.C. owns five radio stations. You would have five general managers.
Right.
You would have five program directors, five sales directors, etc. They started to consolidate.
Right.
And now you got one guy that's in charge of three stations, one guy that's in charge of two stations. They added a layer of crap on top of that where they said, now that we've got one guy managing more than one station, why don't we make one of the guys that's managing more than one station the overseer for the entire market?
Right.
For all of the stations that he is running into the ground at the moment.
Right.
Well, they had this policy, and guess what? It failed.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, starting today, Dan Mason, who's our president, took control of all of the important markets.
Right.
And left the other markets to the guy, Bobby Bacala.
Yes. Yeah, guy we've met a number of times. The press release that I read, it was kind of, there were certain people that were mentioned and certain people that weren't.
Uh-huh.
But I would assume that that no one was singled out, so that certain people are going back to be, I guess, general managers? Is that what it is?
The way it was. I mean, I think they're slowly chopping off levels of the corporate BS. At least that's the glass half full part of me.
They're streamlining it, is what it appears to be, and that can only be good.
Yeah, or actually less streamlining, because more streamlining would be just give more responsibility to whatever guy. I hope they bring it back to a level where there's more guys involved on a local level and less.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We're probably not being really clear here. It seems now that the head guys of the company are directly supervising all of the stations in different markets.
Yes.
You liked it better when each station had its own manager.
Well, that's not the case currently.
Right? No, but
perhaps they're moving in that direction.
Yeah, they're definitely moving away from the more corporate. We just make an edict like this company did with Jack FM and all the mistakes that they made. They're trying to minimize that. So
it's moving in a direction, at least the way I understand it, where you are going to have a little more local control. Is that or not? It's hard to tell, really.
I think it's kind of a contest to see which of these executives now is smart enough to make it.
Right. Right.
You know, it's kind of like they've taken away the paper titles, and we'll see what happens next. Now, one of these guys is Michael Hughes. He's the guy that's the general manager of our radio station, WJFK. He's also the manager of the Spanish station,
El Zol.
Right.
And he's the manager of the classic rock station.
Right.
And he got some pub in a trade magazine about the classic rock station.
Well, that's always good.
So He was demoted today. Maybe this will make him feel better.
It should.
That's fun to say.
You love to say that, don't you?
Well, how else would you look at it?
I don't know.
I mean, and not only for Hughes, but for all of these guys.
Right.
All of these radio guys.
Right.
All of these executive types who for the last year and a half have walked around with the engraved card that said market manager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that it doesn't mean anything now.
But he got some great publicity about his green station.
Yes. Oh, he did.
The Globe.
Very, very exciting. El Globo.
Someday.
El Gordo.
Someday.
From artists building substantial studios to labels creating biodegradable shrink wrap to Willie Nelson's biodiesel fuel to this summer's Live Earth concerts, the music business is starting down the green path. What about radio?
What about radio? Radio, what would life be without it?
In February, CBS Radio flipped classic rock WARW to AAA, whatever format that is, WTGB, The Globe. Mm-hmm. In addition, the station began using its airwaves and website to promote an environmentally friendly website. CBS Radio Washington Senior VP, Market Manager, see, that changes now.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what the title is going to be now. Nobody knows that.
It won't be that, though.
Has there been any memo that I've missed?
I don't think so. I'll check for new ones.
All right.
He might want to save this article.
He should.
As a way of proving that he once had the title.
Right.
Anyway, CBS Radio Washington Senior VP Market Manager Michael Hughes says becoming a green station was a byproduct of programming update that executives felt the former WARW needed. Here's his quote. We started with a basic analysis in terms of the demographic appeal and where we needed to be successful. The decision was made away from classic rock and becoming something between AAA and classic rock. We want to update classic rock, said Hughes. Mm-hmm. While brainstorming what the dimensions of the new station would be, afternoon DJ Surf, a market veteran, who along with his wife has long lived a green lifestyle, suggested the station take...
I'm sorry. I love Surf. You know I do.
We all do.
I just didn't know that he lived a green lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he ate a lot of carrots.
That's why his fingers were orange.
He had orange fingers because he ate carrots all the time. He's been doing that for a million years. And he wore clogs, too.
He finds hot vegan women, too.
Mm-hmm. He does that. Give him credit for that.
That's true.
So Surf has the green lifestyle. He suggested the station take a green approach as well. That idea made sense, says Hughes. Further brainstorming resulted in concert ideas on air and on the web. Came together as a wonderful, beautiful, responsible package, said Hughes. Now, here we come to the part where I'm going to question, and if I'm wrong, I'd be glad to say I'm 100% wrong.
We can find out.
All right.
The station runs its transmitter via wind power.
We have to find these things out.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. That's the one that you're not reading that article unless it had that sentence in it, right?
You're goddamn right.
I want to find out, too. Because I'll tell you, there's some wind power here, but we're not running the transmitter on it.
The station runs its transmitter via wind power using alternate energy credits through its local power company.
Okay.
We are not leaning on coal-burning energy, says Hughes.
That's good.
That is good.
The station is taking more pro-environment actions, such as asking air staff to bring in their own coffee mugs.
Yes.
True.
Is that true, Rob?
That is true.
And that's not just for the Globe?
No, that was the whole
The station vehicle also features a hybrid.
Well, we don't have a hybrid.
No, right. The other good thing they say is, don't print out this email unless you have to.
Right. We're saving
paper.
All right,
so that's a green.
So here we go.
Prithee, do you like that?
Okay. Like its listeners, the Globe has a way to go when it comes to environmental consciousness. We don't yet have an offsetting carbon footprint, says Hughes. We are headed there.
Mm-hmm. What's an offsetting carbon footprint?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
Carbon footprint is how much fuel you use and the pollution it produces. And the less you use and the less you produce,
the more you offset it.
The smaller your footprint.
The article basically goes on to say how the station has been able to get relationships going with...
We don't have an offsetting carbon footprint, but we have an off-putting general manager.
They got good relationships with pro-environment groups, you know, people for a greener environment.
I'm still back at wind power.
Me too, Mike.
I want to see where the windmill is to do.
They got 60 new advertisers. They want to reach their like-minded audience. Hughes is proud advertisers stayed through the flip. I'm trying to find more about the station.
Is there anything about solar power in there?
Run by a windmill.
There's a windmill outside our mouths.
No, but the reason I bring this to everyone's attention is we're going to call him now,
uh-huh.
And we're going to ask him if, in fact, 94.7 is fueled by solar power.
Okay, very good.
And how that works, and how can we get in on that? Because I have a feeling this green thing is the fad to jump on.
Absolutely.
But remember, say wind power, not solar power.
Wind power.
They're only claiming wind power.
I watched that. I watched the Larry David's Wife documentary.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But then, you know, people who use this windmill thing, they feed electricity back into the system, back into the grid, and that's where we get the energy credits.
Oh, okay. So we're really helping the whole city.
And
for the record,
money.
I don't believe it. I believe they just plug the station in like they do every other station.
Well, I just want to, it's easy enough to figure out. We just call Bear.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes. I'm sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number, and when you called, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks,
listening.
Have a great
He's
day.
He's listening.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Being careful? It's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
That's it. No need for anything further.
Sorry about the D-E-M-O-T-I-O-N.
Where are the windmills?
Yeah, Michael, it's Don and Mike. We're wondering what putt-putt course you have WARW's transmitter located at.
We really don't believe that the transmitter is wind-powered, but we'd be willing to be proven wrong. We just haven't heard about where the windmills are.
We're just reading your article in Radio and Records.
We want to learn more.
And we want to know...
We'd like to know, really. We know that occasionally in this business, the truth can be stretched a little bit.
And a little bit.
Want to know if, you know, hey, if there is a globe windmill... A 94.7 windmill.
How do we get some of that action?
We'd love to get some hybrid cars over here, too.
We'd love not to be known just as the a-holes. We'd love to be known as the a-holes who care about the environment, but we want to do it the fake way that we think you are.
And incidentally, here at our station in Rockville, in our building, we don't even have a hot water heater.
That is.
And I think we should get credit, extra credit for that.
That's reflected in your carbon footprint. You guys are the green a-holes.
Yeah, and Don does not have the fluorescent lights on right now.
No.
He has only regular light bulbs.
And candles.
and candles.
More importantly, what are you going to do with those shoe boxes full of business cards?
Recycle them, of course.
They're probably already on recycled paper.
I bet they are.
And I like recycled.
You know what you could do? You could take those business cards that say senior vice president regional manager thing, and you could put them, as someone suggested to me earlier this week, get some clips and put them in the spokes of a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then as you drive the bicycle faster and faster, not only do you make noise, but you're making energy.
And please to sign off a little project we're going to have over here at the building, a scooter road rally.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message,
glad I was able
press
to get
1
that
to listen to your message.
No,
press 2 to erase. To send your message with
urgent.
Normal delivery,
no.
Press 1.
Urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you. Your message has been sent. Right. Goodbye.
You could easily change those business cards for El Zol and make him senor vice president instead of senior vice president.
Bueno, Frito Bandito.
All right, so it's a radio station that's run on wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wind power. Couldn't we call over to Fairfax and just ask one of the engineers? Because they'd know, wouldn't
they? There are no engineers over there, Mike.
Oh, man.
Oh, maybe one of the ones here.
There are no engineers.
Do we have
here
any upstairs?
That's right, I forgot there aren't any.
How about Lanham? Are there any over there?
There are no engineers there. However, when we come back, I think we'll talk to the guy we like from My Name is Earl.
Ah, very good.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop.
Fred, those aren't helium balloons.
Oh, too bad.
The Don and Mike Show.
They haven't killed anybody yet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Buzz, real quickly, what was that thing you're telling me outside about that fake radio station that he runs with the windmill?
Well, the way this works is you have the windmill, and it generates electricity, and you feed that electricity back into the power grid that we all use, that we plug our toasters into. The question is, how much power do we use from the grid versus how much power do we feed back into the grid?
Right, and is it our windmill?
Another good question. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome now to the show, Ethan Suppley. Hey, Ethan, yeah. What's happening, dude?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
My friend, this guy is Randy from My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
Ethan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Got to start by just telling you, you're a nice guy in real life, and I'll tell you why. I'm sure you do not remember.
Your bark's bad.
Yeah. Boy, you're good. You're really good. My son, who is a fifth-year college senior, has aspirations someday of writing, producing something, and probably is going to end up trying to find a job out in California when he graduates from college. Went out there on his spring break this year. Our buddy Greg Garcia was nice enough to let Bart in for the taping of a pilot, I think, that they were doing that day.
Right.
And Bart got home that night and called me and said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. I sat right next to Ethan Suppley all day, and he is the coolest guy in the world.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the fact that you even remember him would be just the cherry on that. So thanks for being a cool guy.
I must admit I got a little refresher last night from Greg Garcia, but I absolutely do remember him. But I don't know that I would have remembered the whole story, but Greg reminded me last night.
Anyway, he said what a cool guy you were, and that for whatever the project was, it was a project that you were involved in and not involved in. It was a pilot Greg was doing, and you were there just to support Greg, just like being just being his buddy. Where did I first know you? I guess I first knew you, speaking to my son Bart, he was crazy about Mallrats.
Right.
So when you and Jason Lee were in Mallrats, probably is where I was first hip to you. Where do you think most people picked up on who you are?
I think even before Mallrats was a TV show called Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah.
Which reruns, I mean, it's bizarre because, you know, that was like 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago, and people still to this day come up to me and recognize me from that. But it's really weird because it's a kid's show. And so the fact that, like, adults, I don't know, it's kind of bizarre that show is still somehow relevant. But, yeah, it re-airs every day on the Disney Channel or something like that.
You know, looking at everything that you've done, it's truly amazing. That, you know, they would say, anybody that's familiar with your character would say, yeah, sometimes you get a little typecast in certain roles, but you're the variety of projects, especially feature films that you have been in. It's really amazing when you talk about Blow. You were in that with Johnny Depp, and you were also you know, in Remember the Titans. And the one that I remember you for, and it just shot off the page at me, was Cold Mountain. You were in that. I mean, you have different such a variety of stuff. Is that your choice? Is it luck? I mean, how does that work for you?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, but I, you know, definitely that would be my choice. If I was in 100% control of all this, I would want to do something different every time, you know, and while now more and more I seem to get people interested in me playing like a dumb guy.
Right. In the comedy arena, right?
You're good at that,
right,
though.
Exactly. That seems to be more prevalent nowadays, but it's a struggle to find something that is not that.
Right.
But more certainly now than a few years ago.
Don't be offended at this, but you're so good at it. I mean, I couldn't picture anybody else being Randy on My Name is Earl. You're so great. You don't even have to, a lot of times, do anything. You just got to walk into a scene and
Randy Hickey.
Yeah.
And what kind of a set is that to work on? Because we know Greg when he used to go out and get us hot dogs and big gulps when he was our intern. He was a guy that took a lot of abuse in radio. I was curious if he's turned any of that around on you guys now on his hit show, My Name is Earl. Go.
No, man. He's for sure the best boss I've ever had and the best guy to work with. He's such a normal, nice, caring guy, and then he is just insanely funny. So.
Yeah, he showed that at an award show. I forgot. I think it was at the Emmys. It was the Emmys or Golden Globes. I forgot which one. It was the Emmys when he made an acceptance speech, which, I mean, when he was an intern for us, I never knew he was that funny. But I guess in order to produce this kind of stuff, he's got to be a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he is a gem of comedy, man. It's awesome, and a lot of it's just like, you know, a lot of the best laughs are had just in the back, you know, while you're sitting around at work while they're setting up shots and stuff. So it's really just like a pleasure to go to work, you know, and be in that environment.
Let's get down to brass tacks on one thing. Jamie Presley, before she was pregnant, when she was just bursting out, right after the baby, and then as she is now, pleased to be describing her in all three phases. Go.
Wow.
Tough question, huh?
I myself am married, and as a married man, I'm sure you know that you just don't notice things.
Hold on. I saw pictures. There's no way you could see that from the space shuttle. Then maybe you can tell me. Did someone on the cast tell you that her bosoms had gotten...
Yeah, that's a good way. Did you overhear any of the single men that are on My Name is Earl perhaps commenting on her prowess during her pregnancy?
I had heard a rumor. I had heard a rumor that there was some expansion. And then I also heard the rumor that there was some retraction. So it's all back to normal, apparently.
Hey, normal was good, though. Have you heard that normal was good?
You know what happened? I guess it was an episode that was on last week or the week before, something like that. But I had to fondle the twins in the show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, that, what a tough job that is.
But you know what? When she's playing pregnant now, because her body doesn't match what it did while she was actually pregnant, everything's like this. There's a foam, almost like a fat suit, but for a pregnant chick, and that includes the boob.
It's really not quite the thrill that you would have gotten if it was the real thing.
What a letdown!
My wife was happy about it.
Hey, speaking of expansion, I want to talk. You know, I'm a fat guy, and you've had roles where you were big and then bigger and then smaller. And I'm curious when you have the weight, and sometimes obviously you get roles because you're a big guy. And, you know, you've obviously lost a lot of weight, too, and you can see that in the different roles that you had. Is there a point where, I mean, do producers come up to you and say, hey, we want you to, hey, you look like you might be losing weight, don't do that, or they want you to gain more weight? Or what doesn't happen on that end when you are typecast as kind of the big guy?
Hold on. I remember you had a bet with, what's his name, with Jay and Silent Bob.
Kevin Smith. I wasn't ever actually involved. I don't know who made that story up, but there was no bet with us.
Oh. So that was just hype, you think?
We're just both fat guys who want to be not so fat.
So,
you know?
that leads to, I mean, do you get pressure to, you know, say you want to be healthy and you want to lose the weight? Do you feel pressure sometimes from producers when you're out there looking for roles that, hey, maybe I'm not going to get that role if I do lose the weight? I mean, how does that work?
I haven't gotten any kind of pressure like that. And, you know, there's always that concern because I worked so much before I ever started thinking about being healthy and losing weight and stuff like that. So, yeah, that enters my mind. Like, geez, if I lose a whole bunch of weight, am I going to still work? But I have, you know, I've lost a lot of weight and I've continued to work and it hasn't been really an issue. But the main reason is that I didn't, like, go and get a surgery and you know, where I do one movie and then 2 months later I'm doing another movie and I'm a totally different person. Like, from The Butterfly Effect, which I shot just before Cold Mountain, and then I started dieting, to Cold Mountain, to Without a Paddle, to My Name is Earl, it's a very gradual thing, you know what I mean? It wasn't just like, in 3 weeks, I lost 150 pounds or something.
And, you know, you went through another metamorphosis when you were in American History X. I was wondering, after you got done filming that, when the movie came out, did you, like, hide so people wouldn't know that it was you?
No, because with that movie, too, I had, like, crazy facial hair and a shaved head and a bunch of fake tattoos. It was more scary during the filming when I was too lazy after work to have them remove the tattoos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I guess you don't want to wear like tank tops after you're doing that, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that had to be scary.
Are you aware that they send out a list of things, of facts about you? Like, Mike, did you even look at page 3 of this?
Where it says, I looked at the movies that he did.
It says he's an old friend of
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Lenny DiCaprio?
I do know him.
And because we wonder whether these things are accurate. Do you hang with Leo?
That's such an odd thing to be on a fact sheet.
Isn't it? Yeah. Well, it gives your daughters and your stepdaughters and all that stuff.
And your brother-in-law of Juliette Lewis. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen her at a family gathering and maybe in a robe?
Is she my brother-in-law?
She's your sister-in-law.
Says brother-in-law of Juliette Lewis.
Oh, I see. Yes. She is my brother-in-law. That is accurate.
She would be described as perhaps a little quirky.
She's definitely a little quirky, but she's such a fun in-law. You know, you think of all these just, you know, at least movies that are made about the horrors of having crazy in-laws, and and my in-laws are absolutely no exception to that.
I would imagine so.
Is she the one that was in The Big Lebowski?
She was, I just watched it because it was on again.
Who's the chick with the red hair that gets naked in The Big Lebowski?
She was in Natural Born Killers.
Oh,
if you
want to
talk
her
about
her,
that. Yeah, that's the big one.
Somebody else. She was in Natural Born Killers in California and Cape Fear.
Cape Fear,
oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah,
right. She's scary as hell.
I mean, you got some associations here that I would also, I mean, Kevin Smith I would describe as quirky. And Jason probably a little quirky. And, you know, I bet you're kind of quirky. Do you describe yourself as quirky yourself? Are you?
Well, I wouldn't call myself. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what's normal anymore?
Everything's That's true.
Kind of quirky, isn't it?
Has anybody ever called you abnormal?
Yeah. That's the least of my worries.
Have you had a nice solid bowel movement today?
Two.
Hey, two. Very good. We'll applaud that.
Good man. Like hearing that. Do you often go on the set?
I go back to my trailer, but I'm very regular.
Oh, that's good. It's very important to be regular. And with your with your lifestyle now, whether you're losing the weight, you're going to continue to. I mean, do you have a goal, or are you just kind of letting it happen?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I don't know, because I am a naturally big guy. I have a lot of muscle mass, and so I don't know. Like, I could put the goal of like 185 in my head, but I think that might be unhealthily skinny.
Yes.
And so if I try to get there, I don't want to have a goal like that. But yeah, I it's kind of like, it's tough with food and stuff, because it's not like alcohol, where if you have a problem with alcohol, you just quit and you don't drink alcohol. You have to eat. You can't just stop eating. So it's really just about changing, for me at least, changing my life and eating and cutting out things that are problematic, like,
you know,
sugar.
Live your life. Who cares? Your life, my friend.
When I'm looking at what you've done, I mean, I know obviously luck plays into it with any actor, but do you consider yourself extremely lucky? I mean, you have been in some truly amazing movies, and you got this hit television show. I mean, do you feel, how much has luck played a part? Does it come easy to you? Have you had to bust your ass to get these things?
Yeah, that's tricky, man, you know, because you get that question a lot from people who are beginning their careers. And
right.
I did not have to bust my ass. Boy Meets World was basically the first audition I ever went on, you know, first real audition. And I got that. And then I worked on that show for 3 years and then started doing movies and did a bunch of movies. And I couldn't be happier with the movies I've been in. You know, I've been in great movies.
Oh, really? Great films, really.
And it's Julianne Moore is the chick from The Big Lebowski.
Right.
She's in The Big Lebowski. Hey, and remember the Titans. How much real football stuff did you guys do, and how much was done by the stand-ins?
There were guys on that movie who were kind of jocks. I did nothing.
So it is easy, huh? What is
I did nothing.
I'll go a step further when we're talking about luck or whether it's come easy. You say it has been kind of a thing where you've gotten these roles. They've just, what do you, I mean, do you make your own breaks? What would you tell somebody? You just, is it being in the right place at the right time? Is it getting a niche, getting to be typecast so you get a lot of work? What do you tell people that are coming up when they ask you about that?
I tell people I have no idea because, you know, as far as my union goes, I have a union that only has 6%
right.
working.
Yeah.
So that means there's 94% of my union is unemployed, and I have really not been unemployed for the past 14 years, so I don't know what that means. You know, there's obviously, when I do a movie and then I don't have another movie lined up, and a couple months later I do another movie, but I haven't had, like, a long stretch of unemployment, you know, so I don't know, but apparently for the majority of people it's very difficult, and then you hear, you know... Yeah. The majority of actors in Hollywood are waiting tables somewhere.
Right.
Well,
yep.
Screw them. You got it, Ethan. Once again, thanks for being such a nice guy to my kid, and you're great on. My Name Is Earl. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, 8:00, 7 Central on NBC. Watch it. How is Greg doing with the pressure of? Is this the fourth season of My Name Is Earl?
This is only the third season.
Only the third. My apologies. How is he doing with the pressure of? You know, the whole lineup thing, the whole Thursday night thing, the whole, you got that show, you got 30 Rock, you got The Office.
Is the pressure getting to him?
I don't know that the pressure, that pressure has is getting to him at all. He's the hardest working guy I know. He gets there before anyone else, and he stays till the end of the day, and he's dealing with, you know, two completely different entities in the writers, and he's basically overseeing all the scripts and the actual production. So, you know, if anything, I would think that would be getting to him, but he doesn't let it show at all if it is.
Well, please tell Greg that, as always, we hope that he rests on his laurels, and that would be two words, yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
As far as I'm concerned, that's where Greg should have quit right there when you're on top.
That's right.
And you tell him we said that, please, with love.
I will, guys.
All right. Hey, thanks for being on the show, dude. Nice talking to you, Ethan.
Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you.
See you later.
Ethan Suplee. That's
bye-bye.
Great. Man, that's when I looked at the movies he's done, it blew me away.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew me away. I mean,
nice guy.
You know, when you go from American History X to My Name Is Earl, that's quite a departure there. But he always is kind of the big guy. He is. He plays the big guy, and now he's losing weight, so we'll see what he does next.
Yeah, did you bother to read this thing that they give us?
I read some of it.
It says,
did you get lost, the stepdaughters and the daughters here? He's got, I think, a house full of kids, if I'm not
lost
mistaken.
Lost over 100 pounds from his once 400-pound frame due to a sugar-free diet.
Here's what I read here when I got down to this part. Stepdaughter Lily, born in 1998. He and his wife, Brandy Lewis, are expecting their second daughter, April 2007.
Seven.
Stepdaughter Bella, born in 1997.
Daughter
Billy Grace, born in April 2007. Are we
talking? And then the last line, an old friend of Leonardo DiCaprio.
I guess that doesn't hurt either if you're hanging out with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I guess so. All right, well, he was a nice, cool guy.
He wasn't in Gilbert Grape, was he?
Very nice.
Was he in Gilbert Grape? Uh-huh. Oh, so that's how he knew Leonardo DiCaprio.
He played the mom.
Oh, God, Rob.
Yeah, he was also great in Misery. He was great in Fried Green Tomatoes.
Hey, you know, speaking of that, that's the only thing that will make me go see that movie. That, you know, that another crappy Christmas movie. Have you seen the trailers for the Vince Vaughn movie? It looks like it can't suck enough.
Fred Claus?
It's got Vince Vaughn. It's got the guy
Paul
from Sideways.
Paul Giamatti.
Giamatti. And it's got Kathy Bates.
Who does she play?
Mrs. Claus, I think.
Sounds good.
I think she's Mrs. Claus.
I got to throw a nod to my buddy Brad, who says the only thing that got him through Titanic is pretending Leonardo DiCaprio was playing it like he did in Gilbert Grape.
Like a tar.
Yeah, so you have to imagine him retarded in Titanic. It makes it a
whole
different
I'm the king of the world.
It's a whole different movie.
I'm the king of the world. That's when he walks into the first class dining room and he goes, apples! I stole that from Patton.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If my transistor radio ever ran out of batteries, I'd have to run to the store to purchase a replacement one so as not to miss any of their show.
I think they're great.
Thank you.
And so does everyone else.
Even when my radio's turned off, I can still hear their voices taunting me.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Even my Rottweiler loves them.
They're better than a strong cup of coffee to perk me up.
As soon as I buy a radio, I'm going to listen to them even more.
Okay.
Clean on the outside, but filthy and diseased on the inside. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That would be it. Oops. Reset them.
That's our Stepford listener that we were listening to.
Got to reset the phones. Everything was happening.
Hey, while you're doing that, I want to show you something.
Go Sox.
Your stomach. Okay, thank you.
Written on my tummy.
Written on your stomach.
Yes, I've got the Go Sox right on my stomach.
In red.
Yes, sir.
I will write. Hold on. About the Sox.
Yes.
By the way, something.
Why you can't.
Why you can't.
I'm going to write down a prediction.
Okay.
A serious, okay. Not ball-busting prediction.
Okay.
On the World Series.
All right.
Would you give me one of those fancy index cards, please?
I'm ready.
No, I want it sealed. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Sure.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Buzz, I wanted to ask you something first.
Sure.
If you and your wife ever make it to Napa Valley, you've got to check out Harbin Hot Springs.
Harbin Hot Springs?
What happens? Is that like some human Petri dish?
What happens exactly at Harbin Hot Springs?
Well, it's. I'll put it to you this way. It's clothing optional.
Well, there you go.
It's beautiful.
Well, it sounds like, a good day outing.
Man, you talk about hot springs and you talk about clothing option. I think floaters.
I think Real Sex 23.
Right, because that's what people do.
Yeah, like Real Sex, like everybody on Real Sex.
They get in and let go.
Seriously, put that in an envelope. That is my true pick.
Prediction.
Hey, when the World Series is over.
That's not fair.
How does it make you feel that Giuliani's backing the Red Sox?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ill.
He's a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can I talk to Joe? Hi, Joe.
Hi, we're here screening Joe's calls. How may we help you?
I just want to make sure if John picks something up at the radio station today.
It's Gladys.
This is Gladys Kravis.
Disguising your voice.
Gladys? Are you using a fake voice, Gladys?
Or low voice?
Gladys, are you using a fake
voice?
I don't
want to talk to you guys. I just wanted to talk to Joe. Uh-huh.
You wanted to make sure what?
Well, I mailed a belated birthday present to Don, and I was just wanting to know.
Of course it was late. Gladys, do you believe in God?
In God?
Yes.
Most definitely.
Do you know that he's disappointed in you?
Why?
No, he's not.
He is.
No, why? He's not.
Because you continually break the rules about calling the show.
You God really have.
He almost hates you.
When did you say the next time she could call us?
I love Gladys calling the show, and I love the fact that she used a fake voice.
Do another fake voice. Do an outrageous accent.
Gladys, come on now.
Silly cow.
Don't let me down, Gladys.
Oh, hello. I would like to talk to Donna Mike, please.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Well, you're a genius. You know, I have a knack for that type of thing, and I think you could replace me.
I know the next time she can call. See, 10 minutes from now.
No one's talking to you, Rob.
Hey, very nice, Gladys. Very nice.
I am praying. I know that's the evil. That's the evil Gladys.
Oh, that's the evil Gladys. Oh boy.
But Gladys. I am praying for Robert Goulet.
Way to bring up a negative.
He's dead. You might as well have cut a knife.
Yeah, you've killed him. You know you've killed
him. Cut
him
with a knife.
You've killed him now. You know that, don't you?
He's doomed.
You know what the ultimate danger would be now, Mike?
No, I didn't.
If she were to enter the arena of sports.
No. No. God damn it, Rob. Don't even bring that up.
Gladys, who do you like in the World
no!
Series?
No! No! Don't do. No. Hang. Don't. Please, Jesus. Please hang up on
Gladys?
Her.
Gladys.
Please hang up
Gladys?
On her.
Gladys.
Please hang up on
Gladys?
Her.
Gladys.
Please.
Mike.
Please hang up on her. Please.
Gladys?
No. No. Gladys. Who? Gladys, if you've ever had any feelings for me, do not answer. No,
Buzz, please ask her the question because I can control Mike's microphone from over here.
Gladys, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
You heard the question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, that's entirely different.
No, don't do this. Please, Gladys, do not answer this question. Don't say anything
Gladys,
about baseball.
Who's going to win the World Series, do you think?
Please, no.
I thought that was over with.
Leave it at that. Leave it at that.
If you had to pick among... If you had to pick among the Boston Red Sox and the Colorado Rockies, who do you pick?
The Yankees.
Good. That's great.
Gladys.
Bye, Gladys. Hang up the phone.
Gladys, stay
hang
right
up
there,
the
darling.
Phone, bitch.
Gladys, don't listen to that. He doesn't mean that.
Gladys, please.
Gladys.
Gladys, I didn't mean to call you.
Yes, Don. I sent you a birthday present.
You are wonderful, Gladys. I hope you know after I leave, I'm the one that loved you all the time.
I know you did.
I love you a long time. Now, yes. Which team?
Gladys.
You think you can trump me with that button? I can trump you with this one over here. Gladys?
Yes?
Who do you like? The Red Sox?
Don't answer.
Well, I did go to Boston this summer.
Who are you picking in the World Series? Boston?
No!
And it's too long of a drive to Colorado.
Boston or Colorado?
From Wichita? Neither.
Gladys, pick one team.
No, don't.
Because I love Mike, you should know the answer.
Then say it.
No!
Then say it.
I'm not going to say it. I won't say
Gladys,
it.
Gladys, hold on. Gladys, does the fact that I'm standing up for you mean anything to you? Gladys, does it? I am defending your honor, Gladys.
He doesn't care about you.
I know you have.
And all I'm asking you to do
you.
Is say the team that you think will win
you,
the
Gladys.
World Series. Say it.
Boston.
Oh, you've just made a grown man cry.
F you guys! Oh, haha, you witch! I swear to God, you're a C word!
Oh, Mike!
I hate you! I hope you
die!
Can
I give you a C?
I've never wished death on anybody. I hope so. I hope it's swift.
My God.
It's done.
What is
color
up with
me
it?
Done. Color me done. It's over.
Listen to this shock jockery
it's over.
Today.
Oh. It's
this is
over.
Your own fault because you wouldn't let me
you
talk
had to.
Show.
You had to. God damn you, Gladys.
Yeah.
I love you,
darling. You just, you suck.
I wish you nothing but good luck.
Yeah, that's me.
You know you've done it. You did it in the presidential election. And look what
I
happened to our
not.
Country. Oh, my God, you're a Wiccan princess. You're a witch. You're evil incarnate.
I love your voices.
I swear to God, you are a creature from Satan.
I love the fact that you're a frumpy housewife from Wichita who lives for our show every day.
You have wrecked the World Series.
You continue to call and you continue to root for the Boston Red Sox.
You know what? I was getting together with a bunch of people tonight.
I know.
I'm still going to do it, but now I'm just going through the exercises because I'm in a total funk now.
I'm going to turn Mike's mic off for a second. Gladys?
Yes?
Would you be a love?
Whatever your prediction is, it's right.
You go to
whatever
church? Would you go to church today and light a candle for the Boston Red Sox?
Well, I don't have a church to light candles, but I could light a candle at home. I'm preaching at our church on Sunday.
Hold on. Mike is saying something important.
God, I'm so upset with you, Gladys. I'm
very upset.
God. God, I can't believe what you've just done.
So you've hexed
it.
If she had picked Colorado.
You show me your prediction because it doesn't matter anymore. I'll see. You predict a sweep, a Colorado sweep? Of course you did. It all falls in because now I'm thinking it's going to happen.
Well,
because of this woman, this evil, Wiccan priestess of death from Kansas.
She's one of our most loyal and cherished
listeners. She's not. She's a hater. Deep inside, she hates.
She loves Mike.
She hates.
She loves those retarded children she's reared.
I don't want to say anything for Mike. Took all of, 5 seconds? Boston!
Well,
listen to the joy in your voice. You know you hexed me.
No.
You
not.
Hexed me. God, I swear to God, I will. You know what? If the next presidential election, if she comes on, she's going to ruin the country.
May I ask an important question?
I didn't call during the playoffs, did
may I?
I
ask, may I please?
Odious hag. You're right, Rob. She's an odious hag.
May I please get a word in edgewise here? Gladys.
Yes.
Cruel, mean-spirited. Under that little housewife.
What did you get me for my birthday, darling?
What did I give you?
Well, yeah, tell me. I want to look forward to it.
Oh, no. That's ruins the surprise.
Is it going to be as thoughtful as that Batman mug you got me?
It might be something that goes with it, yeah.
Oh. Aren't you a thoughtful lady? Thank you.
Yeah.
And please light a candle for the Red Sox, because even though Mike doesn't think so, I think it will help the Red Sox.
Well,
I think there's goodness in your heart, Gladys.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO, biggest celebrity of them all. Who's down with G-O-D?
Yeah. Hey, Gladys, I have a question for you.
All right.
What did you do during the presidential election? Because it refreshed my memory. What did you say way back
when? I just called.
What?
I just called.
And what did you say, though? What did you say? Didn't you call on election day?
Yes, I did.
And what did she, didn't she have a prediction? Or
no.
Didn't she?
No, no. You just because I called, you blamed.
No, no. You called and voiced support.
Hold on, Gladys. Don't be a real ass. Don't be an ass because you're lying now. You're lying because you're evil.
You know
that's not true. You are lying.
Yesterday.
May I mediate?
Yes, please do, Rob.
Parties, listen. Gladys?
Oh, hold on.
Yes?
We're getting the world's biggest misogynist to debate this. This is really not fair
for
you.
But I may be siding with him.
Did you or did you not call in on election day and voice support for George W. Bush?
No, they may have asked who I voted for.
Yes.
And you said who?
I probably said Bush.
And that's a vote of support or something against him? How would you phrase that?
Hey, Rob, let me ask you something.
Yes?
Hold on. You voted for Bush. Why are you
not
yelling?
Last time?
But I'm curious about this. This is very important.
I voted
due to my
for
superstitious nature. Buzz, you got any memory of this? What she did?
Yeah, you're right.
Did she predict? I thought she predicted.
She either said she was voting Bush or that she predicted he would win. It was one of those two things.
Or did she predict that John Kerry was going to win? Or do we go back to Al Gore?
When will we stop treating this woman so viciously? Please,
because
fellows.
This woman has she's a hexer.
I do love the support from Don, but I realize someday something's going to happen and it's going to turn again. But you know, but while I'll bask in it while it lasts.
But Gladys, what did you do? I think you should know that I've been in your corner.
I think she
all
predicted
along.
John Kerry would win.
I've been in your corner all along. If Rob had his way, you wouldn't even be on the air right now.
Wouldn't be on the earth right now.
You're still banned in her book. She's still banned
in your book, rather.
Indefinitely.
She predicted. Maybe she did predict that.
I didn't predict
it was a double hex. And I'm surprised you did. But I'm not surprised you supported Bush being a veteran.
Do you have curlers in your hair right now?
I don't think this is funny.
Do you have curlers in your hair? Are you wearing your big house coat right now, Gladys?
I'm driving. I'm driving on a very busy interstate. I just took my daughter to had a little minor surgery. So I was holding her hand today.
Are you getting her fixed?
Doing what?
Breast enlargement?
Getting her fixed. Like spayed?
No.
Like a dog would be spayed.
Yeah, a little fatty tumor in her bicep.
Oh, yeah. So. Is that an ingrown hair?
No, it was just
you know what?
Like
speaking of
tiny when
your daughter is in a doctor's office today and you pray that she works out okay, why don't you also pray that the Boston Red Sox beat the Colorado Rockies
in the World Series
tonight.
We don't need any more help than you've already done. You've already ruined it. You've ruined the World Series. It's not that they're going to lose now. They're going to lose in some spectacular way now because of the way you've done this.
No, they won't choke like the Indians,
All right. They'll all get fatty tumors.
All right, darling.
Whatever.
All right, we'll see.
If you're on.
Thank you for remembering my birthday, Gladys.
Yes. All right, well.
And if you're on the highways of Wichita, look for a large fatty tumor driving a minivan.
Always lovely to hear from you.
Oh, I'm driving a... Bye.
Yell as loud as you can, Stainet.
I drive a big black Yukon.
Well, Yukon, leave us alone from now on.
I promise.
Gladys, I'm not even going to say that I'm predicting a house falling on you. Because she's from Kansas. Remember when the witch had her legs sticking out from underneath
No surprise she's from Kansas. She does have supernatural powers.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah.
A jean jacket and a pumpkin-colored T-shirt.
Pumpkin-colored.
And I'm wearing open-toe sandals.
Gladys, you have to be one of those women that has, like, a Halloween sweater.
Can you say you hope Colorado wins? Can
no,
you say you
like
hope Colorado wins just to maybe cancel it out, even though the damage has been done?
Don't say it. Don't say
please
it, Gladys.
Please say
don't
it, Gladys.
Don't
please.
Say it. Don't say it. It'll drive him crazy. Don't say it, Gladys. Don't say it. It'll drive him nuts. Say, go Red Sox. Hey, Gladys.
Are you wearing a bra?
Please, Gladys. Please help me.
Oh, gosh. Yes, definitely.
Wearing
please.
A bra?
Gladys, please say.
Hey, Gladys.
Gladys,
hey, Gladys.
Yes?
Why don't you say you support the Jimmy Fund?
Go Red Sox.
Say you support the Jimmy Fund.
The who?
The Jimmy Fund.
The Jimmy
Fund. I don't know what that is.
Just say you support it.
Doesn't
Gladys, can I talk to you, please?
Yes.
please say go Colorado, please.
He hates you. Why would you do him a favor?
I don't like Colorado.
No, but just say it for me. You already said it, and I tricked you into it. I tricked you into it.
Hey, Mike.
There's no way. You cancel out. You cancel out the
Mike.
Hex. I can enjoy the World Series.
Mike.
You cancel out the Hex.
Mike.
What?
Bye, Gladys. See you later, honey.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Call anytime.
I hear the delay.
It doesn't matter. I heard it. I'm taking all I can get. I truly am superstitious
about
it.
If a tree falls in the forest and you're the only one that hears it, does it really make a sound?
Why are you hexing me? Why are you hexing my Boston Red Sox by hitting the delay? But see, it's what came out of her mouth. Your powers are futile against her.
Powers.
Her super evil powers.
If I had powers, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this show. I'd be flying around the earth like Superman.
God, I wish I remember what she did with that presidential election, but I remember thinking she hexed
ruined it somehow.
She did something. She said something that hexed it.
When Mike
visually undresses her?
No. When Mike was being angry and pushing her into saying, okay, Colorado Rockies, that didn't even make it on the air.
Oh.
I hit the dump button.
No, never happened. I'll take what I can get. I know she said
never
it.
Never got out.
I know she said it, Mr. Man. I knew she said it. That wench. That evil, mean-spirited woman.
God damn. Hello, Don and Mike.
Masquerading as a simple Kansan.
Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Don's and Mike's.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, Vlad is pretty hot.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like a hot bowl of chili.
She's hot like Zsa Zsa Gabor's hot. She's hot like Tammy Faye Baker is hot.
Yeah, she's nasty.
Hot.
She's nasty. That's the worst thing I've said about her for real. Nasty. She's nasty.
She's hot like Estelle Getty's hot.
Nasty hot.
Hot like the Kansas firecracker. I just hope her daughter's okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Fatty tumor.
Hey,
that's
Don
her
Mike.
Name.
Hey, guys. Hey,
and there's
Mike,
a lucky girl, too. There's a lucky girl, her daughter. Mom, did you say on the radio I had a fatty tumor in my arm?
I did, dear. Back to the war zone.
Go Red
Sox. Hey, Mike.
Go Red Sox. Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I was such a fool, Mike. I was one of those guys last weekend. I was so shocked on Sunday night. I was one of those guys that in my social circle at my office, you would think I jumped into a DeLorean, went into the future, saw the results of the championship series with the Red Sox, and came back and just was sure they were not going to come back from their deficit and go to the World Series. But when I turned on the news Sunday night and saw that they were actually advancing to the World Series, I have to tell you, I felt like such a Class A heel, man. It was just.
Was this like a 12-step meeting we're having here today for Red Sox?
No, I never made a big deal about. I mean, I'm not in this guy. I mean, I was with him the whole way. I didn't make any. I make any grandiose statements of negativity?
No.
You just. Mike, words hurt as bad. Words can hurt as bad as a balled up fist.
What did I say, though? I didn't say anything. During the
Carrie said that. But she also said it was very close.
I don't want to be lumped in this guy's group. I didn't say
no,
that.
No, you never said
how you treated Gladys.
Oh, I don't regret that. No, not for a single. I almost sounded like Floyd.
Yes.
Ooh, didn't regret that, Andy.
I don't regret that.
Wish I'd hit her harder.
She could take it. She's a veteran.
A veteran.
Air Force.
Key Rice. Mm-hmm. Key Rice Sakes.
You remember she served at Camp Potter.
No, but I can't be lumped in that guy's category.
No,
I wasn't a doubter. I was just sitting there going, we'll see what happens.
Somebody brought up at the beginning of all of that Giuliani.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I haven't even seen this.
Here's my take on the Giuliani thing.
Please.
And Mike, I know you have some empathy here for this situation. What a bastard. Seriously, from a sports angle. You are from New York City.
Not only from New York City, he's like Mr.
You're identified.
In a box seat at the Yankee games.
Mr. 9/11. You're right there giving Steinbrenner a prostate exam.
Yeah, I mean, he's always at the Yankee game.
During every game. Everybody knows you're from New York.
Right. Uh-huh.
You think you're going to campaign up in Boston and say, hey, I'm rooting for the Red Sox because it's an American League versus National League thing?
No.
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 Absolutely not.
No.
He knows it can't be done. Any good Yankee, really, is rooting for the Rockies.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Don't you think he just lost the state of Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And New York?
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, it's just not.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Buzz, hold on. Yeah. Absolutely. Don't forget about the New Yorkers.
Well, here's the deal with Rudy Giuliani. We're not talking just about a New York politician or even the mayor of New York City. We're talking about the mayor of New York City who goes to so many Yankee games and always is sitting down there with the Yankee hat on, is obviously a fan, unless it's all BS and he's not really a Yankee fan anymore.
As I refer to him, the president of New York. He is the president of New York City.
That's not the president of the Mets either. He's the president of the New York Yankees. Right. That's the way he campaigns, and that's the way he was always sitting there, you know, especially during the not winning times.
Not anymore.
And what is it? They backed him in a corner, and he said, listen, of course I said that. I'm in Boston. I'm an American League guy. He said, but when I go to Colorado, I'm still going to say that I think the Red Sox are going to win. Okay. And I'm thinking.
See, all right. And that's where, and right there is where he really screws himself.
Now, you have just effed yourself with three sports fan groups.
Yep.
The big mouth, dumbass Yankee fans.
Right.
The big mouth, dumbass Boston fans.
They don't trust him.
Hate the Red Sox fans. Mm-hmm. And the people that have nothing to do with this now.
Right.
The dopes out in Denver.
Who now have been brought into this, and now they can hate him too.
Right.
A total error. What you do is you don't put on the, you know, you say that, well, I've been a Yankee fan, but I hope the best team wins. There's the politician's answer.
Right. Yeah. You don't put on the Red Sox ad and say I'm rooting for them because they're in the American League.
I mean, I'm so stupid. I'm such a stupid Red Sox fan. As somebody said to me, have you ever gone to a Yankee game in the Yankee Stadium? And are you regretting not being there, you know, because they're tearing the stadium down, they're going to build a new one? I said, I've never been there. I will never go there.
Right.
I will never go to that shrine.
There are so many people, myself included, if I really got drug into a discussion about which would I rather take on an important Sunday, the Packers winning or the Bears losing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a big part of me that would root for the Bears losing.
Yeah.
Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Carla got mad at me during the regular season when I would actually be paying more attention to a Yankees loss or a potential Yankees loss than a Red Sox win. That's what it's all about. I don't think Rudy understands it. But then again, what does Rudy understand? You know, I mean, Rudy's kids hate him, too.
There's one thing Rudy's really got to find out, though. Name of a good dentist. You check out those George Washington teeth he's got?
Yeah, and this guy is so Mr. New York Yankees. I don't understand what he was trying to pull, except being a dumb politician making another mistake.
One more call here. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
You don't need no immunization to cause me to race down at the Lowe's Motor Speedway.
Is this Mr. Douglas?
Oh,
Mr. Haney. It's Mr. Haney.
Oh, what's this guy talking about, that NASCAR thing where people wanted to get immunized?
I wanted to remind everybody that we do operate a sterile raceway.
Okay, thank you. What's happening? Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mr. Haney.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. I just to let you know, I'll break that woman's text for you.
Well, I think I already broke it, but I'm not sure yet. What do you want to do?
How about we break your hymen?
Oh, shoot. This is going to happen if I called.
Oh, job. As the...
So many women react that
way. I don't know if I want to live in a world where you offer to break a woman's hymen and she hangs up on you.
Is that so wrong?
What I say?
JFC, I'm serious. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The deputy police chief says...
Oops, sorry, you should have heard this first.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now here's our tape of the day.
The deputy police chief says six officers were killed, including the district's top cop after the vehicle they were riding in was sprayed with bullets. Three other officers were hurt in the attack. And those are your latest headlines. I'm Jane Skinner. Time now to send you back to Shepherd, who is live where... just outside of Memphis.
South Carolina Gamecocks. She's a big fan. Go South Carolina. We'll look for you on YouTube there, Janie.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Shep.
Janie.
That's not news. That's olds.
They webbed you. That means you got the Don and Mike Show.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah!
Oh, yes.
Ah! Let's see. Here's the actual story about CBS radio management today.
Okay.
For those of you interested in our business, mm-hmm. and for you CBS stockholders out there.
Yes. Yeah. We got one right here. There they are. Hi, guys.
Let me see. The guy who's the new president of our company, Dan Mason, is doing away with the regional management layer.
Huh.
Now.
Layer?
Yeah, that's all these guys that, as we mentioned before, it kind of ran radio stations without really running them.
In groups.
So here's how I look at this. They're restructuring the company with two different divisions. Dan Mason, the president of the company, will be assuming direct oversight of stations in Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C.
All right.
That's us.
Scott Herman, Bobby Bacala, takes control of all other markets.
Very good.
It tells me if you don't work in Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Detroit, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, or D.C., probably get your tape and resume together.
You do have a bit of a keen insight into the world of radio.
Just the way that I read press releases and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
That's all. And, of course, Michael Hughes.
Just a greeting to him today.
Oh, it was a paper title all along, Michael. Being a
we haven't heard from him today.
Being a regional market manager.
Even though he left a nice message, he hasn't gotten back to us yet.
And he never got back to us about that carnival idea that he's floating out there, that one of the radio stations he's running is run by windmills.
Windmills. We want to find out where they are and see if we can put our names on them.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just want to say that no matter what curse you can put on the Red Sox, no curse will ever outdo the magic of Fenway.
Well, I hope you're right, but you have to understand the power of Gladys. I probably give her more credit than she deserves, but she scares me because she is a Wiccan priestess.
Power to Poon. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, Gladys.
Gladys Poon.
Ooh, yeah.
Gladys S. Poon.
Yeah, baby.
Hello, Gladys Spoon.
That's what it's spelled. Gladys Fatty Tumor.
Hello, Donna Mike. Ma! Ma, why'd you mention I have a fatty tumor, Ma?
It was a fatty tumor.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Daddy.
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 How about Fresca, huh? Huh?
Daddy.
Would you like to mow my lawn?
Daddy.
That's
Mr.
right.
Scholarship winner.
Delahue, will you look for my stretch marks?
Elihu.
Elihu?
Elihu.
Oh, sorry.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Elihu Smales.
Danny.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, just a real quick comment. I don't know if they're playing that that clip of Shepard.
Shep Smith.
Sit down, Danny.
Sit down, Danny.
It's us. Hi, it's us you're speaking with. We're the them.
Cut to it. Come on now. Come on, turn that brain on. Come on now, you can do it.
We're them, and you're talking with us now. Welcome to the Matrix. He just hung up, I swear to God.
He couldn't handle it. He couldn't. I said, turn that brain on. Couldn't get the switch. Couldn't fire the cylinders.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Donnie, how you doing? It's Shoo-Shoo Geronimo. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Who is this man?
It's Shoo-Shoo, man. Don't you remember me? I got to go poop.
Who?
Shoo-Shoo?
Shoo-Shoo? That guy has got a memory.
Is that a dog?
When I was a kid, we had a poodle named Mon Petit Shoo-Shoo. My little cauliflower. How would some guy listening to the show remember
shoo-shoo.
That?
Wow.
Ah, Shoo-Shoo.
That's a memory.
Scary.
Boy, I effed her good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Making memories.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey.
I never effed my poodle.
Good for you.
I'm so glad you cleared that up.
I let my poodle do stuff to me.
Well, you know, what's the point of having extra peanut butter in the house?
Hello. What's up, Don and Mike Show?
Hey, Mike.
Yes, I'm here again.
Hey, the guy, Dustin Pedroia?
Dustin Pedroia.
He's from Woodland. That's right across from Sacramento.
Good. I'm glad you know his name.
He's playing for your team, so you're going to lose.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you didn't know how to pronounce his name, dumbass from Sacramento.
Mon Petit Shoo-Shoo made me think of our little bulldog we have now. Uh-huh. We have two dogs in our house. My dog that I brought to the relationship, Colonel Kling,
right.
The German Shepherd, and Jan's dog, she brought little bulldog Oscar.
Right.
Well, as time goes on, Jan's been living with me for almost a year now. Oscar is a great dog, and I'm his daddy now. Who's your daddy?
Right.
And he's a big, thick dog. Yeah. Bulldog.
Yeah, English bulldog. Now. Beautiful dog.
Stocky.
Love him.
And although he wants to be picked up and he wants to have his belly rubbed, he often puts the brakes on. It's like an instinctive thing. It's like, I want to be picked up, but then don't pick me up. Don't pick me up. We've gotten to the point now where I go, you want daddy to rub your tummy? And he puts his little paws on my knee, and I pull him up, and I start rubbing his belly. And I noticed the other day that there's a little pink rocket.
Ah, lipstick? No. You got lipstick, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He really likes it. Really?
He's fixed, right?
Yeah.
He's fixed?
Yeah, but it...
You can still get that, though.
It doesn't stop it from happening.
Does he let you turn him on his back?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in. You're in if you can do that.
Lucky you.
Well, that's the big dog thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If you know, I didn't know whether you were actually going to turn him over and scratch his belly. That's you're in, and he's showing you the lipstick. That means
I actually pick him up and carry him like a baby.
Does he stink?
His farts are worse.
Man.
And we had to take the mics. We had to take the sheets, everything on the bed. We had to take them all to the dry cleaners.
Oh, he got stink butt too.
You know why? He leaves little anal secretions.
Yeah, it's stink butt. We call that stink butt with Beluga. And but overall, when I was saying that, I wasn't referring to his stink butt. Overall, bulldogs do tend to
just
have an
smell,
odor.
Right?
Does he have an odor to him?
No. Except he farts. Constantly.
Is she meticulous about taking care of him and cleaning his ears and stuff like that?
Boy, it's like you're there watching.
Just Carla's such a great dog owner. She's taught me a lot about how to take care of
dogs. Jan gets out a Q-tip and does his ears and does all of the little ridges in his face.
Seriously, that is the difference. And the reason
Carrie does that for me.
The reason dogs like that normally stink is because owners don't do that. And that's great. And then he's easy to love on.
However,
when you talk about that anal gland.
Yeah, hold on. She was stripping the bed the other day and I said, what are you doing? It's comforter, sheets, and everything. Right. I said, what is it? And she said, look right there.
Stink butt.
And I said, yeah. And she said, smell that part of the comforter. And I was like, oh, my God. She said, now, smell the sheet. Oh, my God. All the way down to the mattress.
Wow.
Sure. Stink butt.
And it's because a bulldog has an anal gland.
They all do.
But he secretes.
Yeah.
Leakage.
Now, aren't
it's something about those little dogs, those mashed up dogs. That
you're
have
supposed
those.
To, you can have it like express, right?
Yes, you can have it express. That's
how
a nice
often
way.
Do you do that?
As often as they want.
I have an express.
I have mine done.
Until you see lipstick.
Express yourself.
Federal Express.
I'd love to meet that dog. I love a bulldog. They're absolutely gorgeous. Is he shy with the strangers?
No, as a matter of fact, he's very friendly.
Oh, good.
Part of our worry is that he is such a friendly dog.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's the type of dog that could go walking down the street and, you know, a van could come by and go, hey, guess what? We're a van. We're going to take you and turn you into glue. And he'd go, hey, okay, great. Is that a cookie? I'll jump right in.
Too friendly is better than not friendly at all. So that's cool. I love those dogs.
No, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Little Oscar with his anal gland. That is too funny. But you are so lucky that she does that with the dog because that's where... You know, any dog that's got all those folds and wrinkles and big, like, Sharpei or anything like that, if you don't pay attention to their ears and all those little nooks and crannies, they are going to get stink.
Wow.
They're just going to smell like garbage.
Who knew? Got that red rocket happening, though.
The lipstick, we call it.
I said to Jan, I said, I imagine this would be like if Mini-Me took off his pants.
You know what I get from Beluga now is I get the greeting when I come home where he gets the high-pitched squeal. That's how glad he is to see me in the evening now. This is the dog that still, you know, is obsessed with Carla.
Sure.
But the dog sees me when I come home, and I get the... Arr-arr-arr-arr-arr-arr-arr, and I'm like, oh, hello, Beluga, and I get the... Arr-arr-arr-arr-arr. I love that.
You know what that is in your relationship? That's a chip.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
That's a chip.
Mm-hmm.
The dog likes you.
That's right. Right, absolutely. And I found a place on his neck to scratch now where I take his collar off and I give him the really deep scratch on his neck and he goes nuts.
Sure.
He goes nuts.
Because I know the tide is turning in our house. Not that it really matters.
That's quick for you, I mean, for the dog to become your dog.
Well, it's about a year. No, and he is still Jan's dog.
Right.
Sure.
No doubt about it. Sure. But what happens a lot of times, and I got to laugh, is that she'll be downstairs doing something with him and... He will come running towards me, and she'll stand there, and she'll go, what? All those years, do I mean anything at all to you now?
All those years of brainwashing.
No, he just wants to come over and show me his boner.
That's right. Daddy's on.
Yeah, rename him Pinky.
There he is.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up? Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, Don, you sure those marks on your bed are from the dog and it's not just a cover-up?
What, from my anal spots?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, well, you know, guys and dogs, there's always kind of a close bond between
them. Exactly
what
it is, my anal leakage.
Do you ever have the deal where he's on the bed and he starts pawing at a particular area on your sheets? And that's when you know something bad's there.
Uh-huh.
When he starts grinding at it with his paw.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, what's up?
All right. One swipe, a clean wipe.
Explain.
Hello.
Come on, don't be stupid. We need some explanation here. Linger longer.
And
no,
it's gone.
They can't because they're afraid to. Mm-hmm. He has his little one swipe, a clean wipe. Dare.
Oh, yeah, right. If we wiped the dog's butt.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you something. Janet is such a neatnik. I know she's taken out those baby wipes.
Wet naps.
And she really has wiped the dog's butt.
That's one thing I'll never do for Beluga.
Do you know what she does with our dogs when we're on vacation down at the beach?
You tell.
Seriously. Now, this is a woman who loves dogs. They got a rule, like most places, your dog takes a crap somewhere, you put it in the bag and you carry it.
Right.
No big
deal. We have those all over the house. Sure. We leave them on the floor.
She has her dog trained, and now she has Colonel Kling trained. And how she does this, I don't know. When they're getting ready to go, she makes them wait and stands underneath them and directly by their butt.
With the bag?
She holds the bag so the poop never touches the ground.
Never hits the ground.
Oh, then it won't get dirty.
That's incredible. And it won't get dirty, Rob.
Because we wouldn't want that to get dirty.
That's amazing. What an amazing technique to do that.
And very soon, I'm going to learn that trick.
So she can take the bag out. When I walk
Beluga. When I'm going to the bathroom.
We have the bag, and Carlos says when I'm going to,
I'm not going to learn how to do it.
For the dogs,
I'm going to learn
for yourself.
How to do it for me.
Got
so
you.
That she's sitting there
sure.
with a bag in the morning.
That way you can go outside, which would be your dream. You've always wanted to go outside.
Save water, Mike.
And with these water restrictions we've got, it's a good idea.
You'd be going green.
You know, I walk Beluga probably once every 2 months.
He's going brown.
That's the only time that I walk him, and Carlos says, remember the little bags? I said, so I got to bring the scented pink bags that we take out with Beluga. And what I do is I just go down to the vacant lot next to the house that nobody lives in. I pray that he's going to make it there. Like, he'll start to squat, and I'm like, no. Come
farther.
On, let's go down here a little bit further. And, you know, that's the yard that doesn't really matter.
I can't
get him down there and squeeze him.
That's right.
I can't do that because both of our dogs have identifiable crap.
Right.
Meaning that if we're somewhere we have to clean up after the dogs, if we happen to be walking the dogs and I walk them and don't clean it up, we'll be out later. And we've had this discussion at Ocean City. Jan will say, hey, you didn't pick up Clink's crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, I did.
Yeah.
And she'll stop and go, no, hold on. I know that dog's crap.
Right.
That is a crap from Colonel Clink.
Well, see, and you don't have the advantage that I do of living in an area that's slightly more blighted. That's the advantage I have where there are the occasional bombed out house, you know, where I can go in and just kind of take him into that corner.
I'm talking about when we're down at the beach.
Right, right.
When
you got areas where you can sneak around down the beach, right?
There's a lot of people that like watching and a lot of people like turning in for that rule about
the poop police.
$50 if you don't do the thing after your dog. But sometimes when we're down there and I'm walking the dogs, Clink has something that's so monstrous. It's like I go, I kick some sand on it. And walk by.
Uh-huh.
And the last time we were down there, I swear to God, Janet busted me. She's like,
oh, did you let that one go?
She said, you lied to me. I said, I did not. She said, that is Colonel Clink's poop right there.
You want to knock him off the trail sometime? Leave a human one down there once in a while.
Right.
Okay?
They'll never even call you.
They'll never even put a phone call there.
No fine for that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Sit down, Danny.
Hi there. What's up?
Hey, do you know how to stop the dog from humping on your leg?
Oh, come on, this is
not a joke.
This is not make us laugh.
This is not make us laugh. This is a joke. Doesn't count.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm calling because I looked up you guys' pictures on the internet the other day, and I was wondering, I think I grew up with Rob.
You grew up with Rob?
I don't know. Rob, you grew up at the Jersey Shore?
Yes, I did. I grew up at Tom's River.
Okay.
He's lying. Wait, don't do that. You were legitimately lying there.
Yes,
Tom's River.
Lying.
No, I grew up in Tom's River, but we used to vacation in Seaside Heights. Remember? Who is this, Rod?
He's such a liar.
Is this Rod?
I had a neighbor named Rob Spivak in Bricktown.
Yeah, that's me.
Bricktown.
Remember?
Bricktown?
Bricktown.
Bye!
Bricktown Township, we called it.
Shut up.
Where they made the bricks.
Stop it. You know, that reminds me, when we come back from the break, there is a guy who I think I may have known from high school who I got this letter from.
Oh, that's right.
Very scary letter.
And we got enough time. We come back. We should read the letter and try to call the guy.
Hello, dear friends.
And actually, you know what? I would like you, Mike, to attempt to read the letter.
Very good.
With the guy's absolute John Hinckley, I'm crazy writing this with my feet handwriting.
All right, I will read it without any preparation. 1:00 a.m.
Okay, we'll do that. It'll become
like Jerry
right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can I have an extra piece of candy for my stupid brother? He couldn't come with us because he's sitting in a pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin. It's so embarrassing to have to ask for something extra for that kid, Linus.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Lucy.
That was unexpected.
You know, Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzz.
Yes.
Stand by. I've lost my place for a moment.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
It's too early for the news. I'll be here. It's time to go back in time. I know it's a time, Mike, you enjoy thinking about.
Yes.
When I was a teenager. When I was not yet old enough to drive.
In a Gata DeVita.
Old enough to be working part-time in radio and going to high school around 10th grade. Anyway, I received this note from what I believe is a former friend who we may try to call here.
Good. This is from your formative years.
Good luck reading this guy's handwriting.
Oh, my God.
And Buzz, please stand by.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
I'll be right here.
If you need me. Hi, Mike.
That's my real name.
That's Don.
Don Geronimo.
Radio name.
Michael Source.
Real name.
I do not know if you remember me, but I knew you at Magruder High School in 10th grade and about 4 or 3.5 months in 11th grade. I left in December, abbreviated, that year because my dad had to go back to his company in Los Angeles. It was a quick departure from Rockville/Durwood. Before I knew it, I was back in L.A. in a new school, high school, where I am originally from because my parents moved to Maryland from L.A. a year before I started Magruder High School.
And the handwriting is really mental patient all the way.
I remember we were on the same football team in 10th grade, JV. I was on the offensive line, guard, and most times center. 11th grade.
All right. I know.
11th grade. Whoa.
It's both challenged and challenging.
It's two W's glued together. 11th grade, a disaster for me on the varsity team football.
What a disaster for me.
Dash. By then, I hated football. I started in the L.A. area when I was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Pop Warner football. Pop Warner almost destroyed. Always good, up to the JV year at MHS, Magruder High School. Parentheses, that was my best year in football at Magruder 10th grade. I think you and I used to hang out together after school sometimes. Over.
Next page.
I see.
How I found out your whereabouts is on the internet.
Shock.
I'm not that good with computers.
No.
Or writing.
But I was curious to look up Magruder High School alumni.
Sure.
I got on Google and it showed up MHS Wikipedia. So I looked that up and then it mentioned notable alumni and saw your name.
There I am.
It's been such a long time, I thought that sounds familiar. That last name, Source. Think we knew each other. I do not have my yearbook from 10th grade.
I lost it.
Now, Mike, you just got to know, Mike is doing a masterful job. He's not doing his patented I can't read thing.
No, I'm just really reading this as it should be read.
As it's written, there are words that are misspelled.
I lost it on its missing. Left it at my parents, the only one I had. Hence, no, he wouldn't say hence. Wait a minute. I lost it, or it's missing. Left it at my parents' house in a box, the only one I had. And I think the robbers took it.
Every detail?
It was the only thing I had left from Maryland.
Oh, his yearbook.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, comma.
Good.
I feel like I'm going into memory lane. I lost contact with the other classmates from MHS after living here for a while. I sometimes wonder what's going on.
This sounds like a name from the past that I want to hook up with now.
I think so.
I sometimes wonder what's going on in their lives.
Sure.
Never went to any of the reunions. Did see one girl from your class of 76. She was a freshman at my college. Why is freshman plural? She was a freshman at my college when I was there my first year. Mm-hmm. I did remember her, but now I forgot her name. Still remember her face. It looked like she shaved me. She showed me her Magruder High School yearbooks.
Good.
Oh, and he does one of those things that I do too, because I can't write. Jamming it all down at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, real tiny letters.
This is going to be difficult. Bear with me here.
All right.
She showed me her MHS yearbooks. Save my 11th grade picture, which I never saw before. It was not too good of a picture. 2TO.
Sounds like he could have been one of my buddies. He could have been hanging out in my crew when I was about 10th grade.
Page 3.
I hope you remember me.
Almost over.
It probably seems odd that I'm trying to contact you. He's great at the top of the page.
Sure, lots of room.
It probably seems odd, underlined, that I'm trying to contact you. Hopefully, we can get together next time I'm in the D.C. area.
Oh, no.
I like checking out some of the museums in D.C.
So do you.
The Smithsonian, Dash Post Office.
That's a good one.
One. And some other ones as well.
Sure.
Sorry, my writing is so messy. Hope to hear from you. Take care. Sincerely. And then he's got his name down here.
Okay, well, if you'll pass it over. Thank you, Mike, for
good
reading
letter.
That.
Thank you. Pleasure to read.
Good letter.
Try to call his cell right now.
Well
his
read.
Name is Mike Ludwig.
Very good.
Ludwig.
Let's chat with him, see how he's doing. He said something about college, so obviously he's done a little college.
An educated man.
Some people just can't, should really hit the keyboard.
Some people are better at math than, say, writing.
Well, some people actually can write, but they can't handwrite.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is so. What I want to know is...
Letter writing, a lost art.
It is, but this guy still does it.
Did he know that I was destined for greatness? Hello? Hello, Mike? Hello, Mike Ludwig.
Hello.
Positive I dialed the correct number. He picked up the telephone. He's in Los Angeles. There's no way he could be hearing this.
Hello.
Do I hear flames?
Yeah, it might be a little smoky. Although they're getting that under control, right?
In place.
We'll be riding wildfire.
Hello.
Mike. Mike Ludwig.
Hello.
MHS, class of 76.
Hello, Magruder High School. What in the name of God has happened?
I'll redial.
Yeah. Might get a busy signal.
Probably be busy.
Let's hope we get through.
Get his voicemail.
3, 2, 3. You may have to write him a letter.
It took a lot of letter writing. But it is a lost art, and now I know why.
And this is the guy who lost it.
Just a different ring?
Does sound like a better ring.
Come on now. Now, if his phone had gone off in his pocket or something. Hello? Hello?
Now I'm concerned. Hello? Hello?
Are you all right?
Hello?
Hello, Mike Ludwig.
Hello?
What kind of crazy
try it. You might want to try it again. Okay. Maybe the third time's the charm.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Because somebody's just picking up the phone, not saying anything.
Some phones have an auto-answer feature, so maybe it's that. I don't know.
Of course, haven't we regained the written word by email? Probably not.
No, if you the last well-written email you got.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you do have spell check, though.
Yeah, but still.
I don't even run them through spell check most of the time.
Spell check helps with grammar as well.
Yeah, but you know what's ruined it? I am.
LOL.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Mike?
Hello, Mike?
See, Buzz, this doesn't sound like any kind of automatic answering. It sounds like someone's actually picking up the phone and just choosing not to say anything. All right, I'll try this cat at home.
Oh, right. Good.
There's a home number as
get
well.
Get somewhere with that.
Calling Los Angeles. Let's see what happens.
Probably. Hold on, you know what?
Probably.
That, what?
That was his home.
Ah.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
How odd. That sounded very strange. We'll
be riding. Man, I hope that's not the case.
All right, this is his cell.
Calling the cell now.
Here we go.
Here we go. Feeling lucky now.
Come on. Make a big connection from my past. I will say we knew you were destined for greatness.
And I guarantee he's going to sound better than that letter.
Made all of us proud.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
We'll hear his voice now.
Your message for 3-2-3.
Oh, no, you know automatic. What? He doesn't even give a voice recognition.
Well, that adds to the mystery.
To send a numeric page, press 5. When you are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery options, press pound.
Okay. Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Sorry, that voice mailbox is invalid.
Of course.
Oh.
Huh?
You mean he's not dead, Rob?
She means invalid.
Thank you for using T-Mobile voicemail.
Well, that's Goodbye. Not right.
You know what I think?
What?
I think shortly after he mailed that letter, God robbed from him his most gracious gift. That of life.
We'll try his home number again.
Robbie's not dead.
Oh, yeah? Well, then why isn't he answering, Mike?
Someone's picking up that phone at home.
Sure, the murderer.
No.
Yeah, I've seen it a million times.
Sit down, Columbo.
That's right.
One more question, sir.
Mr. Wishful Thinking over here.
Just one more thing.
All right, trying the guy's home number again. Hello?
Is that like an answering machine that's not been properly set up?
Let's wait and see if it beeps.
It's a melted answering machine.
I'm not quite sure what to do.
Maybe God has stolen from him the gift of talking. Maybe he's hearing every word you say.
He stole the gift of talking for you for a minute there. The gift of Steve talking.
Thank God he gave it back.
I pray to God he takes that gift from you every day.
Keep praying.
I do.
Have Gladys light a candle for that.
Hello, Mike Ludwig.
Mike.
This is the same sound pattern we hear every time we call this number. That's what I'm guessing. It's like an answering machine.
Hold on.
See, we haven't gotten this deep into it.
Mike.
Mike Ludwig.
This is a mystery man.
You know what? Now that I think about it, he may have been one of the guys who knew about the DOT thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
I don't think he was one of the DOT. Oh, no, he wasn't the DOT guy, but he may have been.
Well, you remember the name if he was one of your gang.
I believe Mike Ludwig may have been.
Part of the gang?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Part of the Marauders, the Bowery Boys?
There was that whole homoerotic thing.
Cats and Jammer Kids. Sure.
With two of these guys that were in my gang, and I use that word like in a little rascal's way.
Right.
When I was a kid, and one time these guys, we were all together drinking Boone's Farm. As many did at that time.
Yep. Apple wine and Strawberry Hill.
In a big, gigantic field somewhere. And one of the guys said something like about DOT. And we got him on the ground and we started like giving him Indian burns and everything. Like, tell us what it is. And finally he said, DOT is do our thing. That he and this other guy were doing stuff to each other. They only said they were doing it because they couldn't find girls.
Right.
Right.
Hello?
Hello?
Mike?
Hello?
Hello? Well, that's what it was. It was an answering machine set up properly.
All right. Well, that'll be a mystery, and we'll just leave the guy's letter over here in the corner.
Do we ever leave a proper message for him to call us? You're like, oh, no, we couldn't because he didn't have a – he's got an answering machine that doesn't work at home, and his cell phone doesn't work at all.
Hold on. Let me try this again.
No, he's strictly a writing guy.
He doesn't have a valid mailbox.
Oh, is that what the thing said?
Yeah, this is very strange.
Sure is. Hope he's okay.
Hey, Don.
Excuse me. Yeah, Mike.
I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid, Mike.
I'm afraid.
Be afraid on Sunday.
Why?
Sweep.
Well, now I know what you wrote down.
No,
and after
don't.
Gladys, who knows?
No, you don't know what I wrote down.
Why don't you share it with me? Why don't you put your predictions out in the air for everybody to see?
I want you to see the faith.
Message 4-3-2-3-4-4.
Okay. Oh, 5.
Record your message after the tone.
Okay.
To send a numeric page, press 5. When you are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery options, press pound.
Hello.
Hello.
Waiting for the beep.
Mike Ludwig.
Ludwig. Where's the beep?
Sorry, that voice mailbox is invalid.
Okay.
Okay.
The man's not reachable.
This is a mystery that we will have to solve another day, my friends.
Now I'm frightened.
Another day, my friends.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Maybe he's just an illusion. Maybe you ate some moldy bread
brought on by LSD.
She's hallucinating. That's what the problem is. You're fired.
How about when the house called that guy Big Love last night?
Yeah.
He's trying to piss off the Black Mormon guy.
The Mormon,
come on, Big Love.
Got the punch. Got the punch he wanted.
Sure. All right. Well, we'll find out what happens with that on another episode. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen, how you doing this afternoon?
And I bet there's somebody out there that went to my high school that knows about that guy.
Sure.
My name is Mike Ludwig. Let me know what's going on with him. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You have no problems worrying about the Red Sox. Let me tell you something. I'm a big sports gambler, and apparently a lot of people put money on the Rockies to win the World Series at the beginning of the season at 300-1. There's no way Vegas is going to lose that much money. It's just not going to happen.
I like it when I'm reassured by a gambler who makes me feel that there's reassurance due to the fact that the fix is in.
It's fixed. Sure.
That's a good thing. It's all fixed there. I don't have anything to worry about.
And I don't believe that it was a rush of people running to bet everything like at 300-1 that the Rockies were going
to
be.
Well, at 300-1, they'd have to bet that at the beginning of the season.
I saw one guy. Did you see the fat couple on TV from Denver?
No.
I felt so bad for this son of a bitch. Fat guy, fat girl. She's the fiance.
Right.
15 years, this fat guy's kept this fat chick on the string,
mm-hmm.
kept the ring on a string in front of her nose. Saying
he won't marry her until they win?
Until they make it to the World Series.
Until they make it to the World Series.
And they had them on TV this morning. And she was as happy as a pig in ass, like, going,
sure.
He's going to marry me. They go to the fat guy. They go, how you doing? He's like,
well, I gave him my word.
All I've been doing was waiting and eating. Waiting and eating. Now I'm on my Rocky Mountain High.
15 years. Jesus Christ. Buzz Girdley.
Yes, hi, everybody. This is the news.
Still here.
Now we're caught up. Ready for news and comments and stand by.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
They're
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
That's not news. That's olds.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
Yes, it is.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Hi.
Listen while you BM. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I do.
We're back. Here's Buzz. No, we're pretending that the music is playing.
Ah.
We're just pretending now that music is playing. No, Mike, music is playing.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And now you've spoiled the illusion.
We both have.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather not play music.
Yeah, something else.
Pretend we heard it.
Oh,
Hold on, let me just see what's going on.
I like good music.
Oh, flamethrower.
Ah.
Better than freeze frame. We just had to play freeze frame a lot when we were playing music.
I don't remember ever
music.
Being on the radio.
This one, too. Ugh. Why does this... Why is that so unappealing in this day and age?
Because we had to hear it so many times. Angel is a cellophane.
But wouldn't you think we haven't heard it for a long time that he'd have that little nostalgic quality? I don't have that at all.
Do you think they ever go to John McCain and say, when you were in that little hut and they were like ramming razor blades into your body, you ever think 40 years later you might want to go back and wonder what that was like being held hostage and tortured by the Vietnamese?
Touche.
Buzz.
Hi.
Stand it. Here's Rob with something I know will be very important.
Important. Yeah.
He sounded like Jiminy Glick there. Did you ever miss?
Okay. I guess it'd be very important.
Good to be here.
Hi, guys.
I'm glad you're here, Robbie.
Here's Buzz.
You got some?
Hold on, Buzz.
Yes?
Are you going to talk about Tom Hanks?
I actually know.
Tom Hanks has a MySpace page.
Really?
And if you really want to just be pissed off, go there and take a look at it, because what's up right now, we pulled the audio, right?
Is it chock full of causes?
He's driving his electric car.
Good for him.
On his MySpace page.
Hey, everybody. We're back. You are now driving along with me in my electric car.
Tool.
This is an electric car, not a hybrid.
Right.
Not a gas plug-in. This is an all-electric car.
I'll be talking
Here's
about
what it
this.
Looks like. It looks just like the Scion XB.
Oh, my God.
Runs
what
on,
a shame.
Runs on windmills.
Anyway, it's a big, awesome, awesome pictures of Tom driving that car around.
He was hit by Gary Collin.
Windmill. Okay, that made me think of the Globe.
Uh-huh.
I'm on that station's website right now.
Very Are they nice. Talking about the windmills?
I was looking at it earlier myself.
I can't find anywhere on this website that has any of the stuff that Hughes was talking about in the article.
It's on there. It's under About Us, which is under one of the categories off to the right side of the top of the page. I don't remember which one. But
easy to negotiate?
Reasonably. So there's a lot there. But one of the categories off to the right has a drop-down menu. One of the items is About Us or About
Where do you get the? Where do you download the free porn?
But where does it say that it's a radio station run by windmills?
Go to Surf's part. It's in there. Let me see if I can find it for you.
Oh, let's go to Recently Played.
Can you order organic produce?
Through Surf, yes.
You see, Michael Hughes, our general manager.
Oh, boy.
You know, if I was this radio station 94.7,
I
was trying to position myself as something other than classic rock, I don't think I would be having on my website a list of all the songs that have just played.
What is played?
Voices Carry by Till Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Into Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Uh-huh.
Into All of the Day and All of the Night by the Kinks. Shattered by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I'll never argue with that one.
Yeah, but these are...
I know it's classic rock.
Refugee by Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Do It Again by Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. That makes me want to start a fire. That makes me want to aid global warming.
Don't do that, Don.
How about we play We Didn't Start the Fire by William Joel?
Here it is under the About the Globe.
Okay.
It says the Washington, D.C. station will operate using renewable energy to power its 50,000-watt signal. This move will contribute to lowering the threat of global warming through the purchase of energy resources generated by wind.
Here is what I would like.
Very good.
This is a sister station of ours owned by CBS.
So we don't have a windmill then?
No, we rent one, I guess.
Managed by our manager, Michael Hughes.
Uh-huh.
I think I speak for everyone. We would like proof that this radio station that he's running into the ground is being environmentally correct while still playing Steely Dan records over and over is really being run by a windmill.
Video proof, Don.
They're recycling music.
Video proof.
Yeah, thank
you,
Mike.
I want Hughes standing next to the windmill in a Don Quixote outfit. I want him tilting at windmills.
And I want him to make a hole in one at the windmill, at the putt-putt, at the Rockville putt-putt.
Right into the clown's mouth.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Now nearly a million people have been evacuated in California, and the high winds... We'll be riding
wildfire. The circumstances have created, you know, the perfect storm for fires.
Thanks, moron.
For fires.
And although the high winds have died down in Malibu, they continue in San Diego County. There's hope that they will die down within the next day or so there as well. Fire continues to consume over 400,000 acres. One of the early casualties you may have heard of, Elvis Presley's Malibu Castle, and as it turns out, a lot of its valuable contents.
Hey, Rob, how come you did not bring this to our attention?
Well, I didn't know that he lived in it. I thought it was just a lady.
It's his castle.
This a lot of valuable stuff?
Where he stayed, I guess, when he was out in Hollywood making movies.
How bad you want me to get, Jack?
The Malibu Castle.
If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
I heard a lot of the memorabilia was lost to fire.
It was. The owner says fire destroyed over 24 of Elvis's personal movie scripts. They had notes in the margins that he'd written. Also, the song sheets for Heartbreak Hotel, among other things. The owner says she was able to save E's army uniform, but she says her possessions are less important than, say, bringing our troops home from Iraq.
What about his booger sugar?
I don't think she had
it.
Put
the booger sugar on the vanity, honey.
She did. It's lost.
At least she still has the fatigues.
How great thou art.
It's brown sugar now.
What a friend we have.
Him.
Buzz a little.
O.J. Simpson's been hit with more criminal charges over his sting operation to recover.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Tom Hanks, ladies and gentlemen. His sting operation to recover memorabilia. O.J. Simpson, new criminal charges. The new charge is coercion with a deadly weapon, and three of Simpson's co-defendants now also face this charge. That makes it an even dozen.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Hi, Tom.
That makes it an even dozen charges against each of the four defendants. A comedian, Stephen Colbert, is only running in North Carolina, but he's doing better than some real presidential candidates. A new survey of 1,000 likely voters puts Colbert behind Clinton, Obama, Edwards, and Biden, but ahead of Bill Richardson, Dennis Kucinich, and Mike Gravel.
I laugh when I hear guys like you say this, even though it's really true right now, because the election is more than a year away.
2.3%.
I see him being, best case scenario, he turns his leg into a Pat Paulson thing.
Oh, sure.
Do you tire of it as I do, just a little bit?
I am up to here.
It's been done.
It's stale. Already. It's not funny. When he was interviewed by Tim Russert on Meet the Press, it was not funny.
Listen, at least
it was funny. It was. I was watching two guys that were like enjoying it themselves.
Right.
Back in the day when Pat Paulson did it,
right,
he would come out and just go, "Well, I'm running for president again."
He was, you know, he just had a different way about it.
Right.
And I think Stephen Colbert is hysterically funny on his
Agreed.
Show.
Agreed.
He's got a great show, but this whole thing, you know, the whole dry sense of humor. Al Franken used to pull the same crap.
On some level, wasn't Pat Paulson like serious about it?
He
really cared about politics?
No, what Pat Paulson was, if I remember correctly, was he had a classic bit that was known as the great old stone face.
Right.
He was the old stone face where you would say anything to him, and he was so serious. He was so serious that that's what made it fun. I even think back on it and I smile because what Colbert does, and he did this with Tim Russert the other day, was he has a little smirkiness. Like he's laughing at his own joke, and it falls
Doesn't work
short
there.
A little bit.
Here's why I think he does it. I think he does it because I think, maybe I'm thinking about this too much, he doesn't think the general portion of the audience is smart enough to know that he's goofing on the entire persona that he has on his show.
It's hard to tell. Yeah. It really is hard to tell what he's doing. Well, Pat Paulson, though, was funny even if he wasn't running for president because he would just sit there frowning, and he wouldn't laugh at anything, and that was the bit. And running for president, that was the bit also.
As a Colbert fan, I don't think this is particularly funny either. I only mention this because he actually is beating out some of the other Democratic candidates.
Brilliant.
The World Series starts tonight in Boston with the Red Sox facing the Colorado Rockies.
Let's go Sox!
Chance of rain 70%.
Don, look.
Oh, yes, your belly.
Written in red, magic marker on
Watch, I can make
belly.
It move.
Stop it.
Here you go.
Stop it, Santa.
It's doing the wave.
Yes.
That thing, and his stomach was like a bowl full of jelly.
And it shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
And that was it.
It'll be shaking tonight, baby.
Vegas bookmakers are listing the Sox as 2-1 favorites.
I hate that crap. Don't buy into that stuff.
To beat Colorado in the series.
Not going to happen.
It's not that unusual.
Not that they're not going to win. They have a chance of winning. I just don't like the whole speculation thing.
And there are way too many posers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. True.
I know we've discussed this before.
Absolutely.
The only thing that I can even relate it to was, Buzz, and you remember when we were in Chicago.
Yes.
Everybody hated the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like when Norm Van Lier was on the team. Nobody liked the Bulls at all. There were some people that were diehard basketball fans that liked them.
Right, yeah.
As soon as Michael Jordan started to become Michael Jordan, I know it's not the same thing, Mike.
Right.
But
bandwagon, yeah.
Everywhere you would
came
go,
out of the woodwork.
And people like going, "Oh my God, Bulls fan since day one."
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, who's Norm Van Lier? Okay, I don't know, but Michael Jordan, man, Bulls fan since day one.
I have a question I asked those people that I think might be posers. Really. Mm-hmm. I walk up to them and I said, why were the bookshelves knocked off of my my bookcase in college in 1978? Why did that happen? It was one game that caused it to happen. You would know before the posers
Bucky
would know.
Dent.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's the quiz.
And here's the other thing that I truly believe is hurting your cause now.
Mm-hmm.
Since the last time they won,
yep,
that retarded movie with Jimmy Fallon has been on TV.
Fever Pitch.
So many times.
Yes.
That there are people now, like, I'll use my girlfriend as an example.
Uh-huh.
She's not a big baseball fan.
Right.
She's rooting for the Red Sox, mm-hmm, first, because you like them.
Right.
But second, she said, oh, that was that cute movie about about the team. I like them.
The only thing that's cool about that movie for, and it, I don't think it's that great,
well, Mike,
a movie.
There's nothing cool about that movie.
You know what's the only thing that's cool about it is that they shot that movie with where they had to completely redo the ending, and I love that. I love that about it. The fact that they had to jam
how
all that stuff in there.
How can you live with a stain like Jimmy Fallon, though, even worse than Ben Affleck being held up as the guy who's the biggest fan?
Simply because Jimmy Fallon, because even though it was Jimmy Fallon, they did capture a little of what it is to be an obsessive Red Sox fan with that one scene where he goes to the dinner with her and the Yankees have this miracle of collapse and the Red Sox come back. And that feeling, which I actually experienced going out to the movies one night with Carla when something spectacular happened. I forgot what it was. And I wasn't there, and I had that same feeling because you missed out on it. You know what the obsession is with it? I just figured out what it is, really. If you're a true baseball fan and you have a team that you root for all the time, you really don't want to miss anything. You invest so much more time than any other sport, really, and you do. As far as the actual time spent,
sure.
I invest more time as a spectator in this sport than anything else. And you feel like you're totally screwed or cheated if you miss something spectacular that mm-hmm. happens. That's the way it feels. But I understand how people feel about it. I would have chosen two different actors for both roles in that movie.
Either way, too many posers. Too many.
Yeah, a lot of people that are new to the party.
Too many posers.
But I ignore them.
And I know that you probably have, begrudgingly, you would give some respect to Yankees fans.
Oh, yeah.
Who, more than anything, just want the Red Sox to lose.
Yeah, and except I'm going to talk to my buddy Randall tonight, who's coming to watch the game with me, and indicating to me that he's going to teach me how to have the Yankee swagger. And I'm going to give him the lecture tonight that, excuse me, this is our party. Do not try to latch on.
Yeah.
And there are some Yankee fans that are bad Yankee fans that do that.
Now,
Randall, if you're listening, I'm going to talk to you about that tonight.
If you want some fun tonight, if you're watching the game, play the game that we play in my house.
What's that?
Find the Negro.
Oh, stop it, please.
And I'm talking about in the crowd.
In the stand.
And not just where the elite sit behind home plate.
General right. crowd.
Anytime. And I'm talking even.
You can actually do that in any World Series or the Super Bowl.
No, you could not. No, you could not.
I think in a lot of World Series you could.
Mike, we can compare the crowd.
I have no way. There is no way of proving this argument right now because this is the current World Series.
What I'm throwing out is a challenge. Anytime tonight you see a black guy or woman in the stands, even someone working at Fenway Park,
mm-hmm.
call me up and I'll say, okay, I'll shut up about this.
I'll call you. I'll be looking tonight in the first inning. I'll be staring.
Mike, there are some people who are casual fans.
I know.
Who will watch the game and think, boy.
They'll watch it for that very reason.
Why are they taking so much time between pitches and why are they taking so much time between? And I read today, they never enforced this rule. There is a rule that the guy has to pitch like within 12 seconds, 15
They never enforce
seconds.
That. They don't enforce that. Not in the postseason.
For sure.
Won't happen.
Anyway, mark my words.
We consider
them. And you have a sealed prediction?
Yeah.
You have a sealed prediction. You said sweep.
Zero blacks in the stands.
All right.
Plenty on the field.
Shut up.
None in the stands.
Shut up.
It's not that unusual for sports fans like Don, for instance, to have a lucky shirt or lucky socks. A new independent survey shows that more than one in five fans say they follow superstitions to bring their team good luck or at least to avoid jinxing the team.
Goddamn right.
Well, that's been done. I got a lot going. You know what? Yeah. Makes me more into it now.
Sure.
Got a lot going against me today, you know?
This number of people who are superstitious fans remains over 20%, whether you're talking about men or women who are fans of any sport.
How many times have I know we've discussed it
before. I predicted the Red Sox would win tonight if Don didn't reference the racist city of Boston. That's it, and that's been blown. That's and true. I've got Gladys Kravitz picking the Red Sox. I got two things that are going against me right now.
I know you've done this. How many times have you been watching a game, an important game, somebody comes in the room and you say, don't sit there, don't touch anything, I'm not moving. They go, why? You go, you know why? Because since they scored, I was in this position when they scored, and now I'm not going to move.
Do you get mad at yourself when you do that? Do you get a little frustrated with yourself, like if a remote is in a certain position?
Every time.
Yeah, it sucks.
Every time I am like an OCD patient going,
sucks.
No, that's got to be there. That's got to be there. That's got to be there. No,
exactly.
You don't understand. I have to stay in the same position for the entire game.
I know.
The most superstitious fans are young, single, and make a lot of money, or at least two out of three of those things. College fans are the most superstitious. NBA fans, the least superstitious.
That might have been a dig at us.
What?
I think so, but you know what? We are winners on the third one, so screw you, Buzz.
Touche.
I get your backhanded put downs.
Yeah.
Virginia's secret traffic law.
Why did you just say skinny as well?
When we continue.
Skinny, young, and beautiful. Thanks, Stain.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Charlie.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, what have we here?
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Thank you, Charlie.
Just as cute as a peyote button. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz?
Yes?
Stand by for uno momento.
Alrighty then.
Are you going to be talking about the wildfires at all here?
I'm done with that.
Okay, good. Here's why.
We'll be riding wildfire.
With all the tapes we have of Arnold saying it's the perfect storm, the guy who's covering his own house, catching on fire, burning down. Mm-hmm. Here is a great one from Fox News. A fire captain who's giving calm advice to evacuees.
Hey, I told you to get out. You need to get out now. We got hoses up here.
Guys, put it out. Fire out.
You try to put it out. I need you to get out.
I have.
Let's go. Let's go. Now.
The guy just screaming at these people, get the F out.
It sounds like he's, is that the, and that's obviously the sound of the fire that we hear in the background.
Yeah, and then from the Today Show.
Uh-huh.
They're just over the top.
Yes.
Their fire montage.
All right, Al, thanks. We'll check in with you in a little while. These wildfires in Southern California have grown so big so fast, and they've been so devastating, sometimes it's hard to get your arms around the scope of the story.
So we have some sights and sounds, including some of the images you sent us from the past few days.
The focus of so many people across this country is Southern California.
And as always, they've got their slightly sad Today Show music.
Oh, God.
And what they're doing now is showing a collage of video and viewer sent in pictures.
Uh-huh. You know, we're pissed at this. I'm wondering, you're out in California and you're trying to get information. Wouldn't you be a little more pissed at it because you're sitting there saying to yourself, you know what they want to know? They want to know one thing. Are the winds going to die down? Is the weather going to change? That's it. Give that to them 24/7.
Record high temperatures, record
of course,
low
I guess
humidity.
They're not giving that to the California people.
Huge gust of those Santa Ana winds. You put all of that together, you have extraordinarily difficult conditions for firefighters.
This fire, as the fire chief,
you know, and they're doing this.
This is like the end of a World Series or a championship. You know when they do that, and let's take a look back now as we review the Masters tournament.
That's exactly what.
Oh my God, it sucks.
You didn't know Brian Williams could play guitar, did you?
It's been an exciting 3 days.
Yeah, that's the way they feel. It's been exciting.
It's been an exciting 3 days. Yes. Let's look back now.
Let's take a look back at our
the
coverage.
Magic of October 07.
If Freeman reminded you, is 0% contained, which means we are at the mercy of the wind at this moment.
It looks like a bomb went off here.
I proclaim.
Dun, 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 dun.
God, I don't know why that leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
I know why it does because it's exploitative. They could not exploit the situation And all they could do, seriously, is get someone's skeleton on TV to say, we're now going to interview the remains of a guy who burned to death.
That's tomorrow on today.
And, you know, I can tolerate that if I'm watching, like, some sort of victims, you know, raising money for victims. Is that when the,
right.
Excuse me, the fires are still going on.
The state of emergency in seven counties.
Well, I had a dream.
Oh, they actually have singing that goes with
it? Stood beneath an orange sky.
There's nothing.
And while you're hearing this guy sing this folk song, you're seeing the helicopters and the, you know, the, where the fire looks like lava.
Right.
Thing that can be done to save this home. The winds are swirling. And there's a home on the hill you can just see through the smoke. That could be next.
On any given day.
There you go. That could be next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
The hype machine.
As we've just outlined, all of California's burning to death. Do you remember Lenny and Squiggy? They'll join us after your local news and weather.
That's it.
This is today.
Yes.
That'd be soon.
Uh-huh. Man, oh, man.
Let's make this into a music video.
Bleeding and burning. They still love it, man.
It's almost like at the last 10 minutes of a chick flick.
Right.
Yes. You know, when they go back and you look at the slow motion stuff you've seen in the earlier where they have a fight and then it's a happy moment in the park and then she throws a plate at him and the whole time they got this.
I would say welcome to my home.
The guy in the background going.
Stood beneath an orange sky.
This has been nominated for Music Video of the Year.
This is on the Today Show.
You know, really, do you wonder,
this is
though,
ridiculous.
Especially after Katrina, when we hopefully learned a few lessons from that,
years,
don't you think they ought to have maybe just putting some of these journalists out and saying, what are they getting? What exactly do they need?
What
Where
they
is
need?
That? Maybe real reporting? No.
No.
Why do that when you can do the montage of the fires?
Here's the end of the montage.
We're back in a moment with more on a Wednesday morning, but first, this is Today on NBC. We've been working on.
Do you think they all go, oh,
yeah.
Sure. Well,
yeah,
done.
We did it that time.
Yeah, Ann Curry gives everybody a Hummer.
Well, as you can see, all of Southern California is burning to the ground. George Clooney lighting up the silver screen with Michael Clayton, but first, your news and weather.
And it was good today. Matt was back home.
I got
goodness.
One for you. This is a good one. Here
all
we
right,
go.
Here you go, Mike.
Well, you saw what's burning and bleeding out in California. On a lighter note, Martha Stewart will be drilling pumpkins and showing you how to put lollipops in them. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Did you see where they had Al most of the morning? With all the toilet paper and canned goods at Qualcomm Stadium.
Thank you, Al. So many people going through so much devastation. Our hearts and prayers go to them.
Don't keep all that toilet paper for yourself, Al.
Alvin.
Carrot Top coming up right after your news and weather.
Oh, God.
Asses.
Yeah, morning TV.
We'll be riding wildfire.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there.
Over the years, Hollywood has blamed everything except bad movies for its often disappointing box office income. Now, Hollywood's blaming a video game. Halo 3. The movie industry expected, for example, the Farrelly Brothers remake of The Heartbreak Kid to make up to $25 million in its opening weekend.
I must...
At least 20. It made 14.
I must give back my card now.
Which card is that?
The card that I carry that says, I'm trying to be a cool guy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I've given up at Halo 3.
I hate Halo
3. I get killed by everybody.
I think it sucks.
Every time I play.
I think it's overhyped. I bought it and I played it. I didn't play it online like you did. It's more fun online. I know it's more fun online, but I just think it's too frantic. It's too ridiculous.
I'm a Madden guy. That's it. I'm no good at the shoot 'em up games.
I'm a Call of Duty guy. I'm a Call of Duty. Duty, D-O-O-D-Y.
That's right. I wonder if other people feel the same way. That would be interesting. That may be true, but it got off to a very strong start.
Okay.
Again, for example, all the movies on the weekend of October 5th made nearly a third less money than all the movies on that same weekend a year ago. Movie executives say they believe it's because people were staying home to play Halo 3.
You got to know, when the weekend that Halo 3 dropped, it made something like ridiculous movie money, like $150
million. $170 million worth of copies, and the opening weekend went on to sell $300 million.
Yeah, that's like Spider-Man 3 big, so that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a bite out of things.
Well over 2.5 million people have been playing Halo 3, and they've spent over 40 million hours playing it just in the first week. Now, if that were assigned to one person, that comes to over 4,000 hours of playing time.
I got a scratch in my copy of Halo 3, and I have not played it since.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't like it when I tried it. I didn't like it at all.
Now, oh, and it's time to get out the Tom Hanks tape again, because despite what you may have heard, the idea of an all-electric car is not dead. In fact, while hybrids have been getting
hey,
all
everybody.
The
everybody, he we're back.
Hi, Stane.
You're now driving along with me in my electric car. This is an electric car, not a hybrid, not a gas plug-in. This is an all-electric car.
Why is he
Here's
talking to us like we're kindergartners?
It looks just like That's what
Gary Collins.
It's from his YouTube page.
While hybrids have been getting all the attention, several of the biggest automakers have been working hard on electrics. Nissan, Honda, and Renault have chosen to be on the all-electric side.
Oh, right? Renault.
While Toyota and GM focus on gas-electric hybrids.
I drive a Hyman.
Renault Hyman?
Of course. Le Renault Hyman. Le Car.
They still have to iron out the bugs in the lithium-ion battery, which gets very hot sometimes.
Not Don Simon.
Sometimes to the point
It'll
of
never break.
Fire.
All I know is Michael Hughes says it's break. Powered by a windmill.
Finally,
former regional vice president Michael Hughes.
We don't know what his title is now.
Great.
Number one in our hearts.
Great man.
Finally, Air New Zealand is adding a special one-time themed flight featuring...
Seat filler. That's his
That's
name.
That's his new seat title on his car.
Seat filler.
Speaking of filling seats, Air New Zealand has a special one-time themed flight featuring drag queens, pink cocktails, and a cabaret show. And they said it couldn't be done with the lack of gay flight attendants.
So good.
The flight takes off from, wait for it, San Francisco.
Of course, boss.
Bound for the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras in Sydney, Australia.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
All aboard to go down under. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry,
no.
We're out of time.
No.
Well, on that happy note, we're out of here. I play this as good luck. For the Colorado Rockies tonight.
Yeah, well, you know where you can put your good luck. You and Gladys and Bill and Gail and everybody.
Mike, it's Conway Twitty, as you know. He was a lifelong Colorado Rockies fan.
Big Rockies fan, and he has Rockies memorabilia inside his museum, too.
He does.
All right, that's it. We got to go. Good luck, Sox. See you tomorrow with an episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Ed.
I didn't tell you who I saw at Executive Getty.
Peter North.
No, better.
Who?
Randy Spears.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
And Marilyn Chambers.
Well, I saw Herschel Savage.
And I yelled, Scamper.
What about Harry Reams?
Oh, God.
Hold on. Did you just mention TV's Arnie?
No, Herschel. That was Herschel Bernardi.
Herschel right. Bernardi.
Herschel Savage was a guy with a big thing.
So was Herschel Bernardi.
Oh, yeah. Only we knew that, though.
Hey, let's jam.
And I miss you, and I'm so sorry.
Hello, darling.
Conway here.
Let me whisper in your ear.
Goodbye.
Nice hair.
This is the Don and Mike Show.